What's going on, Drinking Buddies? Brand new podcast coming right at you. But you know what we got to do first. Well, probably get some water to combat last night's X-Biz party. But beyond that, we got to talk about some things that generate a little revenue for the show. First and foremost, we are brought to you by the Patreon at patreon.com/Matt Slayer. For as little as $3 a month, less than the cost of a beer, you can support this show. And if you spend a little more money, there are all sorts of exclusive and bonus content available on the Patreon. So check that out today at patreon.com/Matt Slayer. Have you ever thought about covering your shame in our wares? Pick yourself up a rad metal and Now We Drink hat, shirts. Maybe get yourself a Cancel Raiden Bozio shirt. Oh, if I aired what we just recorded a couple weeks ago, the cancellation would be coming, but that sadly is not going to air because we don't truly want to cancel Rainin. But check out the merch store at anwd.net/merch. Or if you're on the YouTube channel, just go to the YouTube channel and the merch store is right there. We are also brought to you this week by our friends at Casa Anika. Casa Anika is your home for all your lifestyle and personal wellness needs. Yes. That's what we're calling it. Lifestyle and personal wellness. The kind of personal wellness that, you know, vibrates. Go to casa-anika.com today. Use promo code ANWD for 15% off. It also directly supports the show. And any orders in the U.S. that are over $100 have free shipping. So what are you waiting for? Enjoy life. Last, but certainly not least, after all the ad reads, is the way you can help support this show that costs you nothing. First and foremost, one, you can go to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/nowwedrink and subscribe. Honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't want to see the video versions. Don't know. Also, you can just signal boost, tell your friends, let people know about the show. Really that easy. Costs you nothing but a little bit of your time. I appreciate all of you, Drinking Buddies. Let's get on with the show. My guest this week is the man known as Girthmaster. If you're unaware of the Girthmaster, he lives up to his name, apparently. Girth was recommended by a bunch of his co-stars that have recently done the show, and yeah, we just sat and got silly for this whole show. I'm still feeling the effects of last night's party, so why don't you sit back, relax, pop a cold one, and enjoy, Drinking Buddies. Right as I hit record.
We can cut that, right?
No, that's staying right in. That's totally staying in.
Please clear my throat.
I swear, no illegal substances. Please don't execute him next time he goes to Asia.
I don't dabble in illegal substances anyway.
Well, they're legal here.
Still. Man, if I have like one hit of weed, I go nonverbal.
I'm right there with you on that. Like, I can drink all day. You can be any little sort of THC, I'm just donezo.
Yep. You're lucky to get one word out of me. Anyway, cheers, mate.
Cheers. Well, welcome. This is another one of those podcasts where, like, we've been bullshitting for an hour off air. Yeah. It's like, what's actually suitable for the internet?
We're running out of things to talk about.
No, nowhere near. I actually am kind of curious because we did touch on this a little bit before we got on air. It's just like the state of pornography in Australia.
Yeah, right.
I think most Americans just were like, oh yeah, porn, it's a thing.
Yep. Yeah, there's such a difference where, like, in America, there's the industry where I've spoken to girls who knew they wanted to do porn, and as soon as they turned the legal age, they just got into the industry. In Australia, that doesn't exist. The only porn industry in Australia really is OnlyFans. And, yeah, so people really need to be self-starters to get going.
One, that's crazy because full-service sex work is legal there, though.
Yeah, right. There's brothels, there's independent sex workers. All sorts of sex work is legal. Strip clubs have more liberal rules in general.
But heaven forbid you bring a camera. Yeah. Which is the exact opposite of the States. It's like, oh shit, if you pay for sex, that's a crime. But if there's a camera, it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. There's one territory in Australia where porn is explicitly legal, and the rest of the country is just kind of this ubiquitous gray area where it's not legal, but it's not illegal. I think there's too many people doing it at this point to really prosecute it. You need a really motivated, you know, prosecution.
Well, and there's only like 20 million of you. So if like you're going to throw 5% of the population in jail for porn.
Right, yeah. Prison's going to fill up quick.
Right. And I know you guys like to send people off the island when...
Yeah. Australia started as a penal colony, you know.
And now they're like...
Anyway.
And now they're like, oh, hey, oh shit, I wasn't supposed to get into world politics, but like, refugees, we're going to send you to prison islands off Australia.
Would you hear about the last time the Queen visited Australia?
No.
She's going through customs and they asked her if she had a criminal record. And she said, no, I didn't know I still needed one.
And she also lied. I'm pretty sure she was a war criminal.
And no international politics.
Oh, shit.
Queen,
she's dead. It's not current international politics.
Queen actually doesn't even have a passport. She can just come and go as she pleases.
She's like, I'm on the currency. Like, I guess if your face is on the money, you could go where the fuck you want.
You'd think so. You hope so.
You'd hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, here's a 20.
Yeah, money talks. I'm on the money.
Right?
But yeah, no, the state of porn in Australia, it's definitely growing. It's like, I'd say it's booming. There's a lot of people getting started doing it. And it's like, it's a really fun industry to be a part of too. Like everyone's friendly. It's like a friendly little pool of porn people that want each other to succeed. It's great.
And which is just wild compared to like when I got in, because when I first got into the industry, it was definitely much more studio based and there's only so much production happening. So it was felt for a lot of people like a very competitive place.
Yeah, definitely.
And these days in the content creator space, it's like high tide can raise all ships.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I love that like the kind of the keys to content creation are going back in the hands of the people actually making the content. Because for a long time, people had no control over what happens with their content after they make it. Whereas now, like we are in control of what happens with it, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, the rising tide lifts all ships. More people making porn have more independence. They can do what they want to do, create porn their own way. And like the market's just exploded for it.
Right. And no more ending up on a box cover. We're like, where did all my tattoos go?
Yeah, that happened to Valera Castile. They photoshopped off all of her tattoos.
Like, isn't that kind of her, yo?
Yeah, why would you buy that video if you don't want her tattoos in it?
Right, and why would you hire her if you...
Yeah, absolutely insane, yeah. And the whole, like, as well, like, on Valerica again, she's able to exist, like, as, like, a heavily tattooed performer now because she has the independence as well. She had to fight really hard to get started. But now that she's, like, there's a whole niche for people like her, whereas before, like, I've spoken to her before about this, she really struggled to get started with her tattoos. People wouldn't hire her. She had to hustle really hard. But now that she has her own platform, you know, she can do whatever she wants and she's doing really well.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, hey, you're marketable. Oh, shit. Maybe we should hire you.
Yeah, right. The studio's having a second look.
Yeah, because back in the day, it's like there were alt sites like Burning Angel that like specialized in tattooed girls.
Yeah. Whereas the mainstream didn't really give them a second look.
Right. And then Bonnie Rotten blew up and mainstream started hiring performers with more tattoos.
Yeah, Joanna Angel, yeah.
Yep. Well, Joanna Angel owned Burning Angel.
Yeah.
So she kind of
went she was pushing that forward too.
Yeah, she kind of went to being the content creator to get marketed to other people by starting her own production company versus using someone else's platform.
Absolutely, yeah.
Those innovators are like the reason that people could get onto, you know, mainstream sets with as much tattoos as Valerica has or...
Yeah. Now Brazzers is hiring people with face tats. Just cool to see.
It's wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously it's marketable because Brazzers isn't going to hire somebody unless they're going to make money.
Definitely, yeah.
They're a major company. If you think they're like, oh, you'll be fun. No.
No, they're there to make money.
They've gone over the analytics. They're like, okay, spreadsheet, charts.
Yep.
As someone who's done some work for production end on Brazzers, it's just like some of the scenes were like just internet search keywords. Like that was the name of the scene on the script. So it's like they know exactly what they're doing.
For sure, yep. Yeah.
Their marketing will beat everyone forever.
And good on them for that too, for putting in that much work in the research.
Well, they own the distribution, so it's...
Yeah. That's the great thing about like working with Brazzers is the marketing they do for you is priceless. They put in a lot of work. They know exactly what they're doing. They are on top of the game with that.
Oh, yeah. And even people that are absolutely killing it in the OF game, I'm like, you may want to do like one or two mainstreams for one of the big companies just for their marketing arm.
Yeah. See, I've never done anything. I've spoken to all the major companies about doing it, but at this point, I don't know if it's the right fit for me. Maybe sometime in the future, but I mean, it would also be really cool to say, you know, I've done a scene with Brazzers, Vix, and whoever it is. You know, it's in some regards, it's bragging rights. It's also you get in front of their audience. They do marketing for you. It would be really cool.
Much more likely to get a trophy.
Yeah, exactly. That too. Yeah. I don't know if I've been nominated for any major awards yet, but yeah, it'd be cool to get a trophy one day.
It'd be kind of weird to explain to Australian customs, but
yeah. Come back in with a trophy in my luggage.
Yeah. What's this for? Well,
yeah, they're going to let me in.
Like I'm a national. You have to let me back in.
But yeah, the award shows would be cool. Actually.
Have you gone to the awards before?
No, my first ever like adult industry event was Expos Amsterdam a few months ago.
How and was that?
That was really cool. Really cool event, yeah. Expos ran a good show. And the Expos events are kind of like, it's not so much marketed towards like civilians to come along. It's more just industry people. So it was great because there was hundreds of performers and directors, whoever else, in Amsterdam together, bumping into each other on the street, in bars, organizing little hangouts. It was really fun. And Amsterdam is such a cool city. Like you can I hired a boat and drove around the canals in Amsterdam. Well, they didn't even need a license. They just said, like, there's the throttle, there's a steering wheel. Have fun. Don't crash. That was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The one time I was there, we did a paddle boat because I don't think we could have been trusted with it, like anything with an engine.
Yep.
But me and three friends are just being assholes drunk on the canals on a paddle boat. Just, yeah. We were definitely yelling at people on boats.
Yeah, it's like they just assumed I knew how to drive a boat. Like, luckily I didn't. I didn't crash, but yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Was the red light district like looking like normal when you were there?
I'd say so. I don't know what normal is pre-COVID, but it looked like it was a great time.
Were like people, like sex workers in the windows still? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Sex workers in the windows. Streets are full of people like chockers. It is really orderly though. Like, have you been to Amsterdam?
I have.
Yeah, it's really orderly. Like traffic flowed well in the street, but yeah, windows are full. And that was crazy because the women in the window are gorgeous. They're not, they are like, they could all do OnlyFans. They are all stunners.
They've definitely upgraded since I was there last.
Really?
I told the story literally on the podcast I was on last night. It was just like, I was in the red light district, had a couple drinks with me. I'm like, yeah, I'm here. Why not? And so one girl was like, oh, you're stunning. I'm going to make a lap though and make sure this is where I want to be.
Yep.
Made the lap, never saw her again. And everyone else is just kind of like, eh, this isn't where I want to spend my money.
Did you end up in one of the blue windows?
No, I did not. I did not.
Yeah, but Amsterdam was a great time. And of course, like weed being legal, like cafes everywhere. Yeah. Had a blast.
Did you get kind of tonic while you were there? Did you?
Yeah. I had like half an edible in Amsterdam and that, I don't know. I remember there was a boat party on that night, one of the nights, and I had like one puff of weed. Like 5 hours later, I'm still high. And I'm about to go out and socialize. I'm starting to panic. Like I'm still stoned. I can't talk to people. Like 6 hours after I had one puff of weed, I was sober again. I'm a lightweight when it comes to that.
Hey, that's okay.
I come to California and everyone has this like synthetic rolled lab grown weed that's like 50%. I want no part of it.
I don't understand how people are functional on that. Like I know people that are just like, yeah, I gotta hit my vape to just get my day started. I'm like, that would be the end of my day right there.
Yeah.
Done. I made the mistake. I was at a house party a couple weeks ago and there were Rice Krispie treats. I'm like, hell yeah. I grab one, I wolf it down, and like someone's like, did you read the sign? I'm like,
oh no.
These have weed in them. Like, well, I guess I'm in.
Fuck. How far away is that Uber? I'm going home.
Oh, I slept it off on my bathroom floor for a little while. Like, I got home. I'm just like, oh, I think I drank too much. I don't feel like moving. The floor is cold.
We've all been there. Just sitting down in the shower for half an hour.
I blame the weed on that. I don't blame my friend alcohol. No, I would never blame you for such things.
Alcohol would never betray us.
Right? Well,
nothing bad ever happens when you're drunk.
That's a lie. That's a bull-faced lie. There's me being on record quite a bit about bad things happening while I'm drunk. But speaking of, do you have any bad stories of you being drunk out in the world?
No, I'm very well behaved. I mean, I'd never do anything irresponsible like misbehave on alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. Because that's what Australians are known for abroad. Is
yeah, no, there's a big difference in our drinking culture and America's drinking culture. Like, I'm even like going to parties. in Australia, I feel like everyone gets obliterated every time. Whereas in America, everyone stays standing. Everyone's vertical the whole time.
Not everyone.
Well, most people, it seems.
Well, I don't even know why that is. Like, in California, it makes sense because, like, you probably have to drive.
Right.
But other places in the States, people definitely get fall down drunk.
All right, good to know.
Like, have you ever done any drinking in Chicago? Because that's a hard drinking city.
Is it?
Yeah.
I got to go to Chicago then. I hear good things.
It's a great town to get fat in.
Yeah. What's the appeal of Chicago? Because I don't get it. It's like a big, it's a great city, but it's freezing cold most of the year, densely populated skyscrapers.
Oh, it's because in the late 1800s, it was like the boom city in America, and then people just didn't fucking leave.
But people rave about it. They love Chicago.
Okay. I'm from there. It's a great town to get fat in. The food scene's amazing. It is a hard partying, hard drinking town. Like, bars are open until 4 a.m. on weeknights, 5 a.m. on weekends, but only some bars. It's a weird situation. Like, they have grandfathered licenses for the late night. So there are some bars that have the late night licenses where they literally will be dead till 2:15 a.m. till all the other bars around them close and everyone filters into that bar.
Yep. That's the strip clubs in Australia and casinos. They're open the latest.
See, I didn't know that when I was there. I just closed a couple bars and then made my way back to my hotel.
Yeah, see, when I was growing up in Australia, like, you know, 10 years ago, I was going to the clubs and stuff. They'd close at 5 a.m., so you wouldn't go out until, you know, 11 p.m., midnight, you're leaving your house. Now I think it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m., they start to shut. Maybe 2 a.m. they close, and then strip clubs and casinos are up until about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., but they have to stop serving alcohol at about 3 or 4. And they can't serve shots after midnight, which is 10 years ago, going back, you know, shots till 5 in the morning, like, it's no worries.
Yeah, that's
Leaving the bars at sunrise.
So what's the difference between getting like a cocktail and a shot? Like,
right, you can get a shot like on the rocks.
Yeah.
Just not a shot in a shot glass. So you get the shot, pull the ice out of it, and do around.
Right.
Make it make sense.
Well, I understand Australia, like, I don't know if they're still having lock-in rules in Sydney or some shit. Like, they're
Sydney's the worst place for it in Australia. That's where they brought in the strictest anti-drinking laws, really. They shut the whole city down. It really changed the entire scape of the city of Sydney. Like, a lot of the old legacy bars shut down because they just couldn't stay open with new laws that got put in place.
I'm really glad I was there in 2014 when it was still a good time.
Yeah, definitely. Because I've been there since, and it's a different vibe that I'm not used to. Like, other places you travel to, you can just pick up the vibe and, you know, catch on. But Sydney's, I think you got to, like, know what you're doing before you get there.
Yeah, for me in 2014, I had a great time there by myself. Like, one night I ended up in a pub in Newtown in the middle of the day.
Yep.
I don't know if I've told this. I've definitely told this story on air. But bartender, purple hair, bunch of tattoos. I'm like, I'll order a drink, try to figure out what I'm doing for the day. I overhear her talking to one of the other bartenders being like, yeah, I got a shoot coming up. And I'm just, a shoot, you say?
Yep.
Turns out she was an Australian suicide girl.
Oh, right.
I'm like, yeah, this is where I parked my car.
Do you happen to know her name?
I believe I remember her legal name. I think her stage name is Pebbles Inc. Suicide or something.
Okay. Chances are we're like mutuals or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still friends with her on Facebook. But I'm like, this is where I parked my car. Like, I ended up drinking with her, the bar back, and the other bartender till close. Like, I was there for 16 hours drinking.
Yeah.
And then we all ended up drinking in the bar after close, and then we ended up at the bar back's house continuing to drink.
Yeah. Kick-ons is big in Australia.
And oh my God, I was drunk. There is GoPro footage out there somewhere of that night, and I've tried to watch a little bit of it, but my nails are like, my voice is like nails on a chalkboard, how drunk I am. I hear myself on the camera. I'm like, oh, I am gone. Fucking gone.
I guarantee you weren't the only one.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. But I also woke up with a horrible bruise on my chest the next day. And I hit them. I'm like, yo, who punched me last night? Like, if someone punched me, I deserved it. But like, what happened? They're like, no one punched you. Years later, I think what happened was, like, I just blacked out and like hit a table on the way down.
Yeah. The mystery bruise.
Yeah. I'll show you pictures of it when we get off here. It's just like giant fucking welt on my chest.
See, the best city in Australia, I'd say, for nightlife now is probably Melbourne. Because there's at least one bar in Melbourne I know that doesn't shut down. I think there's like a legal loophole where if they serve food, they can stay open. So they serve like
a restaurant.
Yeah, it's like a toasted sandwich on the menu 24/7. But people will go in on like a Saturday and leave on a Tuesday. It's just like a 24/7 bar. It's called Revs, Revolver upstairs. But it's got a reputation for being just like that, you know? Pretty wild.
That's amazing.
I was staying in the neighborhood there once, actually, in an Airbnb. I was doing some shoots down in Melbourne. And I went for a walk. It was like 9 a.m. Went for a walk to a little local cafe. And as I'm walking past Revs, like 5 guys stumble out. 9 a.m, like who knows how long they've been awake for. Yeah, Melbourne's the place to be. Melbourne's really cool.
I have to go. I just chose Sydney when I went because it was honestly the cheapest flight for the most miles to maintain my airline status when I had time off to go.
Yep.
That's really, it was just like, yeah, okay.
And you got to see Sydney too. It's iconic.
Yeah. It was cool. I mean, hell, I went to the Taronga Zoo and all that shit too. Like, I did some touristy shit while I was there.
Yep.
I want to like go back down there and see more of the country. And like, I'm still friends with those bartenders I met 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah, you got to hit them up when you head back.
Oh, I will. I will. And it's crazy just how friendly everyone was, especially like when they realized I was an American. Like, why do your women are like just like throwing themselves at me while I was down there?
Well, it's the same for me in America. As soon as they hear the Australian accent, they're all over me. Which I'm scared of women, so I'm staying away. I'm locking myself inside.
I think you're in the wrong career if you're afraid of women.
Oh my God. I did a YouTube video the other week with Cut up in Seattle. And one of like the premise was like we got in a lineup and I had to guess who the like adult content creators were, the porn performers in the audience and the lineup were. And one of the girls got to flirting with me straight away. Like the second guesser trying to like, you know, they had to ask questions to see who's who. And as soon as I woke up next to her, she's like straight to flirting with me, like, oh, like you're tall. And then as soon as I said like one word to her, she's like, and you got an accent. Like, where are you from? Australia. Oh my God. Like, we were like, it was getting steamy in there. as soon as we stopped filming, like we all start walking out the room, she walked straight up to me with her phone out, like get my number.
But I'm a good boy. I can't do this.
I'm scared of women. I gave her my number, but like.
Did she ever call?
No, I had a flight home that night. So,
well, there's hours before that. You're not flying the plane. As long as you're like pulling up your pants as you make it through security, you're fine.
Gotta take your belt off anyway. Right. You're saving time.
Exactly. Exactly. Keep your shoes off. Just.
Oh, man.
So we're all like, I've seen on social media that you've been traveling around like slanging. Where all have you been? Amsterdam, here?
I've been all over. By the end of this year, I'll have spent nearly 6 months outside the country of Australia. So just traveling all over. Most of the time's been in LA because it's kind of the hub. This is the epicenter of porn in LA. Outside of LA, I went to, I was up in Scotland, London. I spent a week in Barcelona. Where else did I go? And I went back home to Australia after that. And then from Australia to Amsterdam and now back in LA. But all over, yeah. It's the best job in the world. I can travel the world, meet beautiful women everywhere I go. It's great. No complaints. And I'm, you know, getting paid to do it.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Do any of your, you know, trysts for the scenes, like try to like fall in love with you as you're like running out the door? But you could stay in Barcelona for 2 more weeks.
I mean, I can't lie. There's a few flings happening here and there for sure. But I mean, I'm traveling too much, you know what I mean? As long as I make it clear that I'm not looking to settle down, and as long as I know I'm not going to break their heart, then I'm fine to have a little fling here and there and no harm, no foul, and then I head home.
Right.
A few more flings back in Australia, and then I head off again.
Did you ever have any problems like explaining what you do to like civilian women in Australia?
I wouldn't say any problems, no, but what surprised me the most is every date I've been on, I'll tell the girl on the first date, like, you know, I'll wait till the second drink, you know, get to know each other a little bit, and then I'll tell them what I do. Because as soon as I tell them my job, like I tell them that I make porn, that's the conversation for the rest of the night. And honestly, what surprised me the most is they are all generally really into it. They want to hear the stories. They have a million questions. It was really cool. I was on a date in Australia like a few weeks before I came to America. And the girl, we got to talking about it, and I asked her who her favorite like porn star was. And she said it was a girl called Jane Wilde. And
I know Jane.
Yeah, she's great. And I checked my calendar and I had a shoot with Jane Wilde coming up in a few weeks. Like, you'll never believe it. So I worked with Jane Wilde and sent this chick that I was on the date with a selfie of the two of us. Like, guess who I met?
It's like, would you like to be Eskimo sisters with Jane Wilde? We can make that happen for you.
But yeah, so the most surprising thing is that women are actually like interested in it and it's never been a deterrent. If anything, it makes them like more interested in me, which is unreal.
That's wild because like...
It's the opposite for men dating women in the industry.
Yeah.
If they find out a girl's doing porn, they're like, guys all of a sudden get insecure and think less of themselves.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, my God, how am I going to compete with Girthmaster? Well, you got to do it emotionally, dog. Yeah. You have to, you know, develop a connection. He's leaving in 2 weeks.
You better be really funny.
That's what I'm aiming for, shit.
Oh, no.
But it's also wild here, like, because women will, like, even my experience, like, just being a production behind-the-scenes person, I've had women discriminate against me here. Just
really?
Oh, I want nothing to do with someone who works in that industry.
Maybe it's the women you go after. See, I'm not going after the preacher's daughter.
I'm generally going after women with loose morals. Like, yeah. At least I thought.
you gotta lower your moral standards a little bit.
I definitely try. Hell, the last time I went out with someone who, like, had a good family relationship and, like, seemed really well composed, I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this was fun. Have a good life.
Yeah. See, I think sometimes, like, I get the feeling the girls go along with it just to have, like, the juiciest chat in the group chat that week. Like, I know, like I'll tell them I'm going to the bathroom. Or, like, on the date, you know, I'm going to use the bathroom. I know as soon as I leave that table, they're on their phone to the group chat. Like, guess what? Like, try to find, like, I won't tell them my username. Like, try and find out who he is, blah, blah, blah. Like, I know it's happening.
Image searching you real quick.
Yeah. They'll send, like, because I always get screenshots as well. They'll send me screenshots from the group chat of, like, what they're saying about me. Sometimes I get the feeling they're doing it for the group chat, doing it for the story, which is fine by me.
Right. You got to do a lot of things in life.
Use me for the group chat. I don't mind.
Use him. He's okay with it.
Objectify me.
That's what he's here to do. You're not doing your job if you don't objectify him.
But yeah, no, it's never really been a deterrent. Met some great ladies. Like, that's going pretty well, I got to be honest. The job has not really hindered me that much in the dating department. I haven't had a serious relationship since I started, and I don't know what that would look like if I choose to have another one, but well, I guess I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
You got
to
interview them and be like, so do you know how to use DaVinci Resolve? Yeah. Like, just bring them into the production.
What does the ISO function do on a camera?
I mean, I hate to break it to you. There's a lot of people that actively shoot porn that can't answer that question. It's all on A. It's okay.
Yeah, put it all in automatic. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. No. No, it won't.
Listen to this man.
It will not be fine, and I hate you. Color correction is not something I enjoy doing.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it, man.
Oh, my God.
Because I shoot all my own content, and I edit all my own content, so I... On one hand, it's good because I know how to shoot the content so that it's good to edit and it's going to look good as a finished product. Whereas I can imagine if I was just shooting it and just sending it to an editor and never actually reviewing it myself, it'd be easily the biggest headache in the world to edit. But I know how to do it now. I'm at a point where my edit is quick.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's the beautiful part of, like, editing your own content, where it's, yes, it is a pain in the ass to do at times, mm-hmm. but you know it's going to be done right because
yeah.
it's there versus, like, people that... Or just like, oh, I pointed a camera at it.
Yeah.
The editor will fix it. They'll be fixed in post.
Oh, my God. The amount of times I've heard that, yeah. But I'm the one editing it.
When you're the one editing, it's like, no. Yeah. I'm going to make sure it's done right.
But also the advantage is, like, I've seen every conceivable angle that I've ever shot. So I know the angles that look good, and I can just keep repeating them and, like, honing my craft, I guess. So I know the product I'm making now is way better than it ever has been because I've seen every minute of everything I've ever shot.
Honestly, I feel like every content creator, even if they're not going to be their own editor in the long term, should at least be in the editing bay once or twice so yeah. they can see what they can improve upon their product. It's like, oh, yeah. Hey, that looked like shit. And your professional editor probably would just chop it out and you wouldn't have even known that yeah. ever existed.
Mm-hmm. That angle doesn't look good. The lighting was terrible when you did that. Like, you just, the little things that you can improve on when you see your own product.
Yeah. And if you care about your own product.
Yeah, exactly. Like a chef never tasting their food.
But it exists in this industry quite a bit.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, there is a skill to content creation. Like, it's, the studios are obviously on another level with their, like, production budgets and their specialists in lighting and cameras and stuff like that. I'd love to get a little peek behind the curtain on that.
Well, it's honestly not as robust as you'd think in a lot of cases. Like,
really?
When I was on MindGeek sets, there were three of us usually. That's it. The director was shooting camera.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty much just, yeah, I was being the PA. I was running around just doing whatever needed to be done. Like, if I needed to move a light, or move a boom or shit like that. But it's all very self-contained.
Hmm.
It's not like a mainstream set where, like, you have various departments. Like, you have one guy who's just pulling focus.
Yeah, right. Like the Brazzers sets and stuff would have a huge operation.
Not all of them. Like,
really? Even
literally Brazzers? On set for Brazzers, and there's three of us.
Wow. Hmm. All right, yeah, MindGeek. You said MindGeek. They're in Brazzers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing,
among many others,
we were doing Brazzers, we were doing Reality Kings, we were doing Transangels. Like, yeah, there'd be 3-4 of us on set.
Right.
And like a lot of times when the action actually started, me and one of the other guys would just be sitting on a couch making sure nothing like had to be fucking quickly moved. But otherwise, we'd just be sitting there.
Right. Interesting, yeah.
It's definitely better, unless you're just going for POV stuff, to have someone else shooting it for you.
Definitely, yeah. I think that's like the next step that I need to do is like have a full-time videographer on my like shoots. Which is like, at the point now, I think it'd be a great investment for me.
It would. I'm sure you can find someone in Australia who wants to see the world. And
well, in Australia, I've got a videographer. She's great. This lady named Jess. She's awesome. I've used her a few times. Great. In America, I actually just met a guy a couple nights ago who's great. So I'll probably start using him maybe a couple times this trip. I'm only here for another couple of weeks. But the next time I'm coming to town, I'll definitely hit him up in advance and have him on the roster for a bunch of shoots. Because it makes such a huge difference having someone on all those different like dynamic camera angles, adjusting things that need to be adjusted. Like it's
huge. If you're in the moment, it's like if someone comes out of focus, like, shit.
I got a luby finger and I'm touching the screen. And right? All this, it just, oh, yeah, no, it's a lot can go wrong.
It's like, oh, what fluids am I getting on the touchscreen right now? Oh,
I got the wet wipes of the camera afterwards. Yeah. No. Oh.
Like, is this thing weather sealed? Fuck.
I mean, I've got my production on point now. The weather seal would be great for shooting with people that squirt. Like, mentioned Valerica earlier. She is like a fire hydrant. It is insane. Hit my camera multiple times, which looks great. Like when the squirt hits the lens of the camera and you can see it in the video, looks amazing. But back of my mind is always like, oh, I hope it didn't hit the mechanics. Everything's working.
Oh God, am I going to make enough money to buy a new camera body after the shoot?
She squirts so much, she has her own camera and she's bought waterproof housing for it. Like a diving case for a camera.
Like, okay, we're going to shoot with your camera on this one.
Yeah.
Put my camera off to the side.
Yeah, no, luckily I'm on point enough now. Like I've got my systems down pat. Nothing like that really goes wrong anymore. Like there's no, I know what I'm doing. The settings are dialed in before I start. I haven't got to adjust stuff because I'm just prepared for it. So that's good.
A little matrix dodging as the squirt comes. Just,
but it does
just like cut that.
That happened at the shooting with a girl in Australia called Eden Lux. I was holding it POV up on my face and she squirted and it hit the lens POV. Which was awesome. Like, it was literally like you're wearing 3D glasses getting hit with squirt. Shout out to Eden Lux.
I would still be panicking in the back of my mind. Like, kudos to you, because I would definitely be losing my erection right there. My camera!
I saw it dripping off the tip of the lens.
Yeah. I would 100% be like, oh, I don't know if I can stay in this. Like, my camera.
Need love of the game.
As I've said many, many times on here, it's like, to do your job, you just have to be built a little differently. Like, a lot of people don't seem to understand, like, the job's not for everybody. Like, even right. Without, like, your, you know, physical characteristics.
Yep.
The job's not for everybody. Like, not everyone can get it up and keep it up for whoever the fuck they're working with.
Mm.
And especially if you're on a set. Can you do it with someone like me standing over you with a fucking boom or a camera?
Right, yeah, exactly. I think, like, there's a lot more female creators than there are male creators. A lot more females in the industry than there are males in the industry in general. And I think the reason for that is, generally speaking, any female can get into porn. Even if they're asexual and don't even enjoy sex, they can pretend they are and use lube and whatever else they need. Men can't fake, I mean, there's ways to do it, but getting hard, staying hard, finishing when you need to finish, some guys can't finish, some guys finish too quick. There's all these prerequisites that you need, like non-negotiables as a male performer. I think that just naturally excludes a huge like portion of the population.
It does.
Add to that, you need an above average size dick, and there goes half of them again. And you're left with a pretty small pool of male talent.
Even if you have an average dick, you still got to be able to do the rest of that.
Yeah, right. Get it up, keep it up, finish when you want to, finish when you need to.
Right.
Because it's not always up to you either.
I've definitely seen people fail like on a blue pill. Like it happens.
Yeah, right. I'm fortunate with content creation that I can pick and choose my shoots. Like every shoot I've ever done, I've organized myself. Like I'm my own booking agent. So I can work with people that I truly want to work with, which is great. It's a huge luxury in this industry for sure.
What would you do if like someone approached you who you weren't necessarily attracted to and like, I really want to shoot with you?
I mean, it happens all the time. And not even just attraction, but people that maybe don't want to work with because their style doesn't align with mine. Maybe they're like I'm not super hardcore. And some people are very hardcore. And they approach me to shoot and I just, you know, I'm sorry, but like I don't think our styles align. You know, your audience wouldn't like me. My audience maybe wouldn't be like into that hardcore stuff. Who knows?
They're not into you beating the shit out of some 5 foot tall girl.
I mean, there is like a fine line to tread because I never want to hurt anyone's feelings by rejecting them, but also like I can't shoot with everybody. Like I don't have enough time in a day. I don't have enough dick to shoot with everybody that wants to shoot with me. Like I'm only here for a few, you know, 8 weeks shooting every single day. I've got a limited time.
Girth master. I'm the girth master. What do you mean you ain't got enough dick for everyone?
It takes a lot of blood to get that thing up.
Well,
if they come to Australia, I'll shoot with them. I got limited time. But yeah, no, it's I'm very fortunate. There's a lot of people that want to shoot with me. It's great. And it is difficult to kind of navigate that without hurting people, like turning people down without hurting their feelings and stuff like that. But it's...
So how are you letting people down? Like, yeah. Pretend I'm a girl who's like, but I want to shoot with you. And it looks like me, but but a girl. How would you let me down?
I'd say the truth. You know, my schedule is full. Like, before I got to America, my schedule was full. Like, I had no free days just about.
But you had time for this podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're not having sex.
Thank God.
I need my rest between shoots. But yeah, no, I mean, just as gently as you can, let them know, like, I don't have time or I don't think it's a good fit for my brand. At the end of the day, you know, I'm shooting content in the hopes of making as much money as I can. Like, I want these scenes to sell. I want my fans to enjoy them. And if I think this scene isn't going to sell well or my fans aren't going to enjoy it, the shoot is not worth my time as much as shooting with someone that my fans would love. So I'd rather make the good content, rather make the content that I enjoy making than, you know, make content that my fans wouldn't enjoy.
Speaking of the fans' enjoyment, do you get good feedback from your fans? Like, are they vocal about what they like, what they don't like?
Yeah, and I seek it out. Just like, I try not to be as annoying as the companies that send you surveys. Like, please rate the experience, but I'm always looking for fan feedback.
It's like, how fast did you pop to this scene?
The best feedback is like, I only made it 2 minutes. I'm like, yes. But yeah, no, I'm always looking for feedback. You can send out mass DMs on OnlyFans. I'll send out mass DMs, you know, like, what did you think of that last scene? What was your favorite part? You know, like, who'd you like to see me work with? Who's your favorite shoot so far? If someone really enjoys a particular person, I'll send them scenes similar to that. I'm always looking for feedback from my fans.
So if someone was really vocal about like, I want to see you work with X and it was someone you're not particularly into, would you go and pursue it at that point? If like not fan base got really vocal about it?
Not even for like an individual fan, but I mean, if the market was there for sure. And I've shot with like, I'd say like a very broad cross section of people. I don't really have a particular type. I'll get in on that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I don't really have a particular type of person I'm interested in, but I've shot with like a broad variety of people, you know, like, I won't go examples, but you know, I've shot with about everyone.
Oh yeah, I'm not so asking you to name names. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, oh yeah, we banged, totally not into her. Yeah. I'm not, no.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, I really don't have a type, so I've shot with a huge variety of people. So I have a pretty good idea of what my fans want to see, what's going to sell well. So I don't, like, I know the shoots that my fans are going to enjoy and that I'll enjoy, and there's a good cross-section there. Like I said, I haven't really got a type, so I'm pretty open to shooting with most people. So, yeah, no, it's great. And because I don't have a type, I shoot with such a variety of people. It's great.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's awesome that your audience is actually giving you feedback. Because, like, I know doing podcasting and stuff like that, it's like pulling teeth to get fucking podcast fans to respond to shit.
Unless it's mean comments on TikTok.
Yeah.
They love that.
Oh, no, 100%. Though. Like, I'm in the YouTube comment section fighting with people all the time. Because I do it for the engagement and I don't value their opinion. Because those people are not actually my viewers. They're just people that came across it because of the algorithm and they want to fight.
You know what helps me tremendously with online hate? Like I never got hate at all until TikTok. But whenever someone comments something mean on a TikTok video, I picture that person. It's like 5 p.m. on a Friday and they're on the train home from work to this life they despise. And they're just writing mean comments. And that's their little outlet in life. And that's fine. Have your outlet. And that doesn't bother me at all. I just picture them like frustrated with their life and that's why they take it out online.
Oh yeah.
It's anonymous online hate. Like anyone that has anything better to do isn't going to comment mean things on TikTok. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't have to value their opinion. It's not worth anything.
Exactly. It's like, this is the most important thing that they have going on.
Yeah. Writing anonymous hate comments on TikTok. Troll, like racist troll accounts. Like it's crazy. People really spend their time doing that. When you think about the individual sitting behind the keyboard typing that, it just like dissolves any credibility they have. Like, how could I take that seriously?
Exactly. And on top of it, I think in a lot of cases, they aren't even sincere comments. They're just doing it for the attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they don't even really feel this way.
Yeah. But they know that if they do these provocative things, they're going to get a reaction. And that's their little validation in life. Like, do your thing. Like, I ignore 99% of it. unless I can think of like a funny retort, then I might make a response video, which is kind of fun. But otherwise, yeah, I'll let them do that thing. Just ignore it. Don't feed the trolls, they say.
Oh, I feed them all the time. But I'm also like, I don't value their opinions. So I just say funny shit to them. I'm just like, this just drives YouTube engagement. Yeah. YouTube algorithm specifically wants to see engagement on the comment section.
Really?
To drive numbers. So okay. I will 100% get into fights with people and then end it with, thank you for the engagement. And that generally shuts them up. They're like, oh, he just fucking used me.
But I responded to one the other day. They were like, so I was in that cut YouTube video and the lady that I mentioned was African-American. And there was this guy just going through making racist comments. Like, me and her had a great chat. Like, we were bantering. We were flirting for like a few minutes up there. Like, you know, I asked her what bar she goes to. Like, you know, she got my number. And this racist person was going through the comments. And I just like, I didn't respond to him, but I saw them just almost every comment that mentioned her, they were adding to it. And I replied to one of their comments and said, does being a racist online troll make you feel validated in life? Serious question. And they didn't reply and they stopped commenting on the video altogether. So I count that as a win.
Oh, that 100% is a win. Like, it's like, oh, you made me self-examine my life. Oh,
I have to get introspective and like, it's not fun for me anymore. You didn't flame me back.
Yeah. Right. You didn't just have an emotional outburst to my head. Nope.
Yeah, but just ridiculous. Like I just realized there's a person behind a keyboard typing those things for a reaction.
Yeah. If you don't give them any power, they have none.
Yeah. It's unreal. Just the whole ecosystem of online hate accounts and comments is just craziness.
It's
they're out there.
They are. And the internet's just a wild place because it's just like we've put these systems in place to just give people the ability to do this.
Yeah.
Like go back, 20 years ago to traditional media. You couldn't fucking just fuck you, Martin Scorsese.
He's never going to see that.
Right.
There's no way. Yeah. Nowadays, you can see all the hate. If I like search my name on Twitter or TikTok, wherever it is, I'm going to see. If I look hard enough, I'll find hate comments. It's craziness. Yeah. I don't need to see that.
And it's one of those things where, like, when I first got on Twitter, it was like, that's what I loved about Twitter. It's like, oh, hey, I have the ability to interact with people that I would never have the ability to interact with. And now it's just like, oh, the other side of that sword is just the double edge. Yeah.
I mean, I will say like 99.9% of it is great. Like it's fans showing love, support, feedback, stuff like that. It's awesome. It's just that it's always the hate comments that stand out the most that, you know, you cling on to.
Well, it's just human nature to cling on to the negative.
Yeah.
Built into our brains to remember the negative shit more than the positive shit, which is kind of fucked. It's a shitty evolutionary trait of being human.
Yep.
It's like, oh yeah, we remember that tiger attack that wiped out our family, but... Mm-hmm. May not remember that really great meal that we had.
A million compliments just outweighed by one negative one. Yeah. Right?
And just can't give those people the power.
No.
To concentrate on the positive a little bit. Like, what sort of stuff do people come with you at on the positive front?
So I'd say it's different from like OnlyFans messages and like Twitter comments in general. But the OnlyFans message of feedback would be like, if I put out a scene that like they love, they'll tell me their favorite parts about it and like, my absolute favorite thing is when they say like, oh, me and my wife or me and my husband watch that together. And like when couples enjoy my content together, I love that so much. Or just like, you know, great feedback. My OnlyFans, it'll be in particular about my work because they've, you know, spent money. They've purchased my content. They've given real feedback and I love that. And the Twitter is just more general, like a mass of like, you know, likes and just general like comments about how much they like, you know, enjoyed that little snippet that I posted. But yeah, the feedback's generally all great. And yeah, it's really like, it's valuable too when you get the feedback. You know, they tell you what part they liked and you can do more of that for those people that enjoy it. And yeah.
As long as it's actually constructive. Like,
yeah.
I know for myself, it's just like when I do get negative shit or even positive shit where it's just like, that was awesome. Like, can you elaborate a little bit, please?
But it's especially good when like when you're being authentic with something that you're doing and then you get good feedback on that authentic thing. It's kind of like it's a, what do you call it? Like positive reinforcement to keep doing that same thing you're doing.
Wait, we're supposed to be authentic here?
Fuck. Well, see,
fuck.
It's strange to me because like for better or worse, I feel like people learn about sex from watching porn. And you can debate if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the fact
is... It's a bad thing.
Right, yeah. But the fact is that it happens, right? Like there's people learning about sex are watching porn and they take that as lessons and gospel and...
It's bad.
It's
really bad. It's like
porn sex isn't always real sex.
It's definitely not real sex. It's like learning about guns from action movies.
You mean you can't shoot a bullet? You can't shoot a gun for 3 minutes without reloading?
And everything's going to explode. And
yeah.
People instantly die if they get shot anywhere. Like,
but see, I feel like because as my profile's growing and as more and more viewers are watching my porn, I feel some level of responsibility for people who are going to learn sex or learn intimacy by watching my content. So when I do things to kind of like promote, well, maybe not necessarily promote, but, you know, show the more intimate side of it or things like that, and I get good feedback on that, that to me is like meaningful. And I do get that a bit, like, as kind of the indicator of that to me is how many female fans do I have? Is my female viewership increasing? And if it is, I know I'm kind of representing porn as real sex, which is good.
So have you ever thought about doing like Griffmaster's sex ed? Like, this is how you properly put on a condom. This is how you stimulate a clit.
If I find condoms that fit, I'll maybe do that.
They have to exist, right?
So there is a company in the UK that makes them. 72 millimeter around. That's 72 amazing. Millimeter, whatever it is, like maybe a cross.
That's amazing because, like, stereotypically, you don't really think of British people with big dicks.
Right, yeah. It's some British company that just makes these, like, comically big ones, and you can buy them online. But, like, I bought, because when you shoot porn, you don't wear condoms, so I think I bought a 10-pack, like, a year ago, and, like, don't really wear them anymore.
You out here raw-dogging your dates, too?
No, so I don't sleep with girls on the first date. Believe it or not. Yeah, well, like, because I feel like laying on them that I make porn for a living, I'm like, for one thing, I have a lot of sex doing that. So that kind of the itch is being scratched. I don't really need to get laid every day on the first date. It's fine. And then also I feel like laying on them that I'm, you know, I'm a sex worker. It feels good to give them a little time to process that. Like, they can go home, they can think about it. Don't make a rash decision and then go on a second date and
chat the girls and.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Hit the group chat, get their verdict on it, and then come back. And I'll have told them as well, like, because I only sleep with people that are like tested, you know, have to have a blood test, swabs, urine test, everything like that. So I think that's those 10 condoms must have gone through the year on, you know, first and second like encounters with the women when I have sex with them. And then, you know, if we keep doing it, they get tested and we can do it that way. And yeah. But like I said, I've only been home for half the year. The rest of the year I've been traveling and filming content and protecting.
Like, I'm not out here meeting people as well.
Yeah, no way. Like, I'm going home. It seems so risky to me now. Like, before I did porn, like, you take the chance every now and then, sure. Now that I get tested as often as I do, and I've, the idea of going home with a stranger from a bar is terrifying to me. Like, when was your last test?
Like, it
was
never.
3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago? Never? Like, stay away from me.
So many Americans like, never.
Yeah. Some people that never get tested.
I know. It's absolutely wild. Like,
in Australia, you can get tested for free, like multiple places.
I mean, you can get tested here for free too.
Yeah. And people just don't do it.
I literally just went to LA County and did it last week because, like, I'm not a performer. I don't need to get a 14-day test. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go drop the 200 for TTS for a gold panel unless it's like right before AVN, because then I could be like, there's the F-Buddy screen. Like, I'm good. Let's hook up. But from like normal everyday life, it's just like, I'll go to county, I'll do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's an in and out thing.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's so simple. Everyone should get tested. Everybody should be being tested, depending how often you're having sex, but like between partners, probably.
Oh, definitely between partners. Yeah. And just even if you know, like, you know in the heart, you're clean. Like, you haven't hooked up with anyone since your last test. If it's going to be like a new partner on the horizon, you should get it just to give them the peace of mind.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, people don't get tested. I'm terrified of going home. Like, someone, like, unprotected sex with a stranger is terrifying to me. There's no way. People out there are dirty.
Oh, yeah. They really are. Like, I had this girl, like, civilian girl who's just like, you should come over and fuck me. I'm like, when was the last time you were tested? She's like, well, like, it's been like a year, but I haven't gotten laid in a little while. And I'm just like, you're texting me nudes constantly and we have never been intimate. I don't believe that, like, I'm the only person who's getting this.
This isn't virgin behavior.
Right. And I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying we should do this safely.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I mean, like condoms are great. Definitely wear condoms.
Don't lie to the internet. They are not great.
Let me say this. If you're a girl and you're with a guy and he says condoms don't fit him, he's lying. Show him a picture of my dick and tell him that I can find condoms that fit me, and then he'll never say that again.
You have to import them. That's
well, I found them. I have them.
Like, how long did that search take?
I had to go to Reddit. Reddit has a subreddit called Big Dick Problems. And it's just guys with big dicks complaining about their lives and the struggles of having a big dick. And a lot of it's tongue-in-cheek, but there's like real big dick problems.
No, there really are. Like I have an average-sized penis. Mm-hmm. And like I've had plenty of partners be like, you have boyfriend dick. Because they're just like, I don't want my cervix bruised. I don't want mm-hmm. to deal with the actual fucking big dick problems that come with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, there have been times where you've whipped it out for a civilian and they've been like, nope.
Yeah. Uh-huh. mm-hmm. And especially since starting porn, like civilian, the reaction for civilian girls now is so much more real. Like I can really notice the difference between someone who's experienced big dicks and someone who's a complete like novice. You know what I mean? It is such a fun time. Like it, because I don't tell the girls my username, like I'll go home with them, especially before porn, I wouldn't mention it at all. And then you go home with the girl and she's like, as soon as I get it out, their reaction is my favorite thing in the world. Like they're climbing the walls, like they'll go through like all these stages of like, not grief, but like they're like hysterically laughing and then like almost crying and then like shock. And
they're like trying to negotiate, like, will that thing actually fit in me?
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe we can do something else. Like worst case scenario, you just end up having like what's basically lesbian sex. It's just like finger stuff and mouth stuff.
I'm assuming your mouth, not their mouth. Like if it won't fit down there, it's probably not like, fitting up here.
They'll give me head, I'll give them head. Like I'll finger them, they'll give me hand jobs. Like it's lesbian sex, essentially.
That's wild that they'll try to put it in their mouth, but they won't like try to put it inside them.
Oh, they'll try, but like sometimes like you get the tip and then it's like they know. Like
That will put a baby out. This won't. Yeah. They're not snakes. They can't unhinge their jaw.
Yeah, but the baby isn't pleasant.
I mean,
they do it over and over again. So I used to work with a guy that said women love childbirth because if they don't, why does my wife keep wanting more kids? Which I'm sure is wrong, but
probably.
I'm never, from a small town.
Well, like before the industry and all that, were you just like never using condoms before you?
Oh no, I was using condoms. I was in like long-term relationships, so.
But they didn't start off as long-term relationships.
Right, yeah. So I'd use condoms, and then you get to that point where you have that little handshake agreement, like, we're exclusive, right? Like, we're not serious, but we're not sleeping with anyone else. We can stop wearing protection. You're on birth control, right? Yep.
I trust you.
Yeah, right. I trust your word, yeah. And then you kind of, you know, goes from there. Since then, like since my last long-term relationships, generally always wearing condoms. I'm a bit of a like dummy as well sometimes, like way pre-porn. All a girl would have to say is like, wouldn't it feel better without a condom? And my like one brain cell as I have an erection was like, oh my God, yeah, you're right. Why didn't I think of that? Condom comes off like,
oh, 100%.
Wouldn't it feel better to leave it in? Oh my God, yeah. I should just like, yeah. And then you're just like nervous, you got him pregnant. But I've beat that now because I had a vasectomy a few months ago.
High five. So, I did one last year.
Yeah, great. Was it hard to get in America?
No.
No, same in Australia.
I literally made the appointment. There was no like pre-physical. I showed up the day of.
Yep.
I was like, you sure you want to do this? I'm like, oh, I'm sure I want to do this.
Good on you, yeah.
And the biggest hassle was getting him to agree to let me set up a camera. I filmed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have the footage of your vasectomy?
It's on my YouTube, yeah.
On your YouTube?
Yeah. It's from the chest up. It's not like, oh my.
All right. Did you look down at all during your vasectomy?
No, they put like a sheet up so I couldn't look down.
See, how long did yours take?
Under 10 minutes.
Mine as well. See, so they put in like local anesthetic, just a little injections. And it was so quick. Like I thought he was still putting in the local anesthetic, like the little jabs. And I looked down and I saw smoke rising.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And we looked at our vas deferens smoke. I smelt my burning vas deferens. But yeah, it was 10 minutes and I walked out.
Yeah.
I had a dental cleaning later that week and that hurt more and was more invasive than the vasectomy.
Yeah, it was so painless.
Yeah, a week later I was at the gym again. It was fine.
My friend who gave me a ride like didn't even get out of the car.
Yeah.
I came back out, she's like, did you forget something? I'm like, no, we're good to go.
Yep. It was the easiest thing and the peace of mind I've gotten since then. Like after my vasectomy, I went and worked in Europe. I was in Barcelona, like London and Barcelona. And there was like a week where every day of the week I slept with like a woman from a different country. Like they traveled into London or wherever. And imagine being a baby daddy to seven women in seven different countries.
I mean, that's kind of hot though.
No, it's not. I'm not Pitbull. I'm not Mr. Worldwide. I don't want to be. I'm not trying to go for that.
But it was think great. Of your genetic gifts that you were taking out of the gene pool.
Gladly. I'm not trying to be a baby daddy.
Well, obviously you abandoned them.
Oh my God. I mean, if they're in seven different countries, they got no choice but to abandon six of them.
You could abandon seven. But it really is. It would be more fucked up to just keep one of them.
You're saying it'd be worse to pick one child over leaving all abandon yeah. six. You say
you should abandon seven.
I should abandon all seven, not just right. six of them.
Because when the other six eventually find you, you are on the internet. And what, like, why didn't you love me, Daddy? Why did you love him?
Why did you love him more than the rest of us?
Yeah. If you equally abandon them all.
See, I avoided this complex entirely. Just got the clip.
I mean, they could still drill your balls and take out sperm that way.
Took the venom out of the snake, mate. Nothing's coming out.
No, but legitimately, they could tap your balls.
Oh, yeah, no, IVF still works. I mean,
I'm saying they can get swimmers out of your balls.
You've got me worried now.
I mean,
like, I'm not going to sleep in peace.
It's a surgical procedure. You can't just come in someone in.
Yeah, right. But like, what, I'm going to be sleeping in my room and then someone I work with is going to like sneak in and take a little vial?
How deep of a sleeper are you?
I don't know.
If anything sharp gets near my balls, I'm awake.
But no, the vasectomy was easily the best decision I ever made. But I was talking to a girl the other day, and you know about like breeding fetishes and stuff like that? I mentioned to her that I have a vasectomy, and she was almost disappointed. She was like, oh, it wouldn't be as fun without that risk.
I will definitely cream pie you, girl. Like,
but like, it's a valid thing. That's crossed my mind before. Like, I was having sex, and I'm like, I was about to do a cream pie. And I realized like that element of like the risk is gone, which is a little bit of the fun of the cream pie.
A little bit.
The risk is some of the joy. What? This is the only drawback of the vasectomy is like that thought in the back of my mind of like, fuck, this is so risky. This is so hot. It's gone. I know it's not risky.
It's okay.
It's worth it.
It is definitely worth it.
My Neanderthal brain, like, there's been times in my life where women have said they're incredibly fertile and I've still left it in. Because they said to me, what if you leave it in? And I'm like, oh my God, yeah.
Any pregnancy scares?
That's a great idea. Nothing serious. No like missed periods, anything like that, but just, you know, the holding my breath until they get their period. That's close to as scary as I've gotten.
That's not even that bad.
No. I mean, there's been like several in 1 month of like, please get your period. Please get your period.
Well, you shouldn't have came in here more than once. You're fucking worried about it.
Several people.
Oh, okay. One of the seven.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's the peace of mind's incredible. And like, it's a lot of girls in the industry aren't on birth control because it has horrible side effects for a lot of them, stuff like that. So just that peace of mind as well. Like, if anything happens, pre-cum, anything, they have nothing to worry about. I have nothing to worry about. Having to take plan B, birth control, nothing like that.
That's definitely where you want to be because I hooked up with a performer and, you know, I didn't finish inside her. I came out of her stomach. But we decided to go for round two pretty quickly. I'm like, should you really be putting my cummy dick back inside me right now?
Dick.
And she's just like, it's okay. I'm like, are you on birth control? She's like, no. I'm like, well, I'm already in there. I mean,
yeah. And your one brain cell was like, keep going, man.
And yeah, this you is this. Pre-vasectomy. I'm like, she got rid of it. She never told me.
That's horrible.
I know, especially in America. It's not cheap.
It's not even legal anymore. They overturned Roe v. Wade.
California, it's legal.
Oh, is it like state?
Roe v. Wade being overturned just overturned it federally.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever laws on the books for that state or
The federal police can still have issue with it?
No, it's just state to state. But California has codified that it's legal here. Not even just like, oh, we don't have a law. We have a law specifically allowing
it. Is it like weed, where weed is legal in California but federally illegal and feds can raid dispensaries?
So
can
they raid? No federal law. Like Roe v. Wade being overturned, just no federal.
Oh, so it's not illegal or legal. It's right. Oh, right.
Because the way the U.S. federal system works for our international audiences, like if it is not determined at the federal level, it is up to the states to make decisions.
Right. Yeah. Like personal freedoms and then county, state, federal. Right. Yeah.
So it's like it's up to the states and then Texas and other places are like, you try to leave Texas to get an abortion, we will charge you.
Yeehaw. No, wild. Yeah, I was in Australia when that got overturned. Craziness.
Well, it was actually part of the motivation to get my vasectomy.
Yeah. It is a great thing to do. It's fairly easily reversible as well, like very high success rate.
The doctor told me that like there wasn't, I mean, it could be reversed, but that it wasn't necessarily actually reversible.
Yeah, they say treat it as though it's not reversible, but it depends on the skill of the doctor that did it. But my doctor told me it's like a 90% success rate.
I mean, he told me he put titanium caps on mine, so.
Damn. Wait, literally or no? Mm-hmm. How do you go through TSA?
I don't know.
I mean, I got mine singed.
Well, I mean, they were singed and then like metal cap. I mean, I guess it's so small that like it doesn't. I've flown since.
I don't know what I got, but I don't think I got titanium.
Yeah, he told me that, like there are titanium caps on like the ends.
Wow.
Just to be sure.
Just an inbuilt chastity belt.
Hey, I'm all about it.
Best thing I ever did, honestly. Peace of mind, future me thanks me.
Oh, yeah. The world thanks me. The world. I've had sex with a bunch of people I definitely didn't need to have in my life for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think everyone in the world is there.
Anyone who's entertaining, at least. Maybe boring people are just like, yeah, everyone I've had sex with is still in my life.
Just me and Melanie since high school. Yeah.
What a depressing fucking way.
People fall into it, man. I mean, hey, some people find the love of their life in high school.
Some people are institutionalized.
I personally didn't. I'm still looking for her. Maybe she's out there.
Maybe.
Maybe there's a Goldilocks out there that can take it.
What does the love of your life look like? Like, not like physically, but like...
The main thing I look for is a girl that's like independent, I'd say. Like, not reliant on other people, or especially like reliant on a man for things. Like, enjoys, like happy to do, like love to do things for her, but doesn't depend on it. You know what I mean? That's probably the main thing. Otherwise, like, I don't know. Fun to be around, put together. I mean, like, the thing is, like, I'm not looking for a relationship at this point. So the thought of like, what am I looking for in particular, doesn't really cross my mind. It's more like, I feel like when I see it, I'll know it. Or like when someone comes along that's like undeniable, then I'll like pursue it.
You were like one of those girls who like, I'm not looking for a relationship right now. And then told the dude that, you know.
I'm looking for the quarterback.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking for whatever's like looking for me in a way, you know, traveling the world, meeting cool people, having fun experiences, not limiting myself with any opportunities. But yeah, once something comes along that's undeniable, then like, I'll go for it for sure.
Now, if you were to like meet someone in like Barcelona, would you just like abandon Australia for them?
I'm not abandoning Australia for anything. Like, I've lived overseas for a few years before, but there's no place like home. And Australia's great to live in. I'm close with my family. I'm close with my boys. Like, it was tough being away for 3 years. And you think as well, like even this year where I've been away for half the year, I've missed half the birthdays of my friends and family. I've missed half the life events that I want to be around for. So it's hard to be away. And even now, like, I can't wait to get home in a few weeks' time. And like, I've missed, like, you know, my friend's kid's birthday. I miss my mom's birthday, stuff like that. It's, you know, it's tough to be away for that much. So I'd love to just stay home. Like I said, I've lived overseas for a few years. I owe Australia a few more years at least. And they can move to Australia. Australia's awesome. Why would you not want to live there?
Internet.
We're getting better. The fiber's to the premises now.
Well, and then everything wants to kill you.
Nah, snakes are a myth, mate. You don't see
spiders.
What are spiders?
Saltwater crocs. I've seen saltwater crocs. Those are fucking massive.
I'm from a city called Cairns, which is like in the jungle, North Queensland. Like, it's saltwater crocodile territory. I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, I technically have only seen them like behind enclosures.
Oh, I've swam in, there was like a swimming hole had a sign posted saying like recent saltwater crocodile sighting in this swimming hole, and we still swam. Jumping off the rope swing. There was just like one deep dark section of the swimming hole we just stayed away from. We threw a few rocks in it beforehand. Like, we were...
The kid you didn't like gets to go first.
Yeah. We were reasonably confident we were safe.
Like, if that kid dies, you know, the croc won't be hungry again for a while. It'll be fine.
I mean, there are crazy stories of crocodiles in like where I'm from, North Queensland. But, you know, you just be lucky and you don't get bit.
I don't think it's a bite so much as just dying. Like, I'm pretty confident that like if a saltwater croc latches onto you and starts the death roll, it's over.
More or less, yeah. And they're prehistoric predators, yeah. They got you. But I mean, you're smart, you know. There's plenty of swimming holes where there's no crocodiles. Like, too small for crocs. Too high up on the mountain for crocs. Stay away from, like, I got a friend that grew up near an inlet, like where the beach has a little like inlet going into the land, and she lost 3 dogs growing up. It's because saltwater crocodiles are around the beach, around her house. Like, it happens. They're around. You can see them, like, driving down the road. You stop by the creek, you'll see crocodiles.
I mean, how smart is she that she lost 3 dogs? Like, after the first one, you'd think you'd learn to leave it on the fucking leash. I hope you didn't, like, think about breeding with her. Shit.
No, my friend did, but...
Well...
But, I mean, like, there's... Like, realistically, if you're living in a city in Australia, you're not going to worry about spiders or snakes. Like,
Just the women.
Just the women. They're scary enough. But the, you know, like, you'll see a few snakes here and there, but more spiders than anything. But, again, they're fine.
All I know is the one Australian woman I hooked up with clawed the fuck out of my back.
What? That's happened to me with an Australian chick, too. Left, like, dig marks in my back. For what?
She Totally did. I hooked up with her in Japan, and like I got back to the States, I took my shirt off at a pool party. One of my friends was like, did you rape a girl in Japan? Like, what the fuck happened?
Jesus.
Like, I'm like, she was just into it. I don't...
Was the name Chelsea?
No.
Okay.
No. That would be really weird if we were Eskimo brothers. I'm so Australia, but really
weird. I mean, I wouldn't put a pasta.
I mean, there's only 20 million of y'all. And y'all leave the country all the fucking time.
We are some traveling people. We Australians get around. I mean, traveling and sleeping around. We get around.
Oh, I know.
Every country in the world.
I'm really bummed, like, because it is kind of a goal to, like, have sex in every country.
Yep.
And, like, I didn't actually hook up in Australia.
Really?
It wasn't for a lack of trying. Like,
you went to the wrong bars.
Well, the suicide girl, like, I think I zigged where I should have zagged. I got a little too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so that didn't end up happening. And then ended up in a different bar another night. And like, was talking up a girl all night. And like, oh, this is on. And at the very end of the night, last call, like, oh, it's time to, you know, go home, close escrow. Her friend walks up to her, flips open her phone, like, your boyfriend has been texting me all night.
Damn.
And that was the end of that.
Yep. I'm like, shut that down quick.
Your friend's a cunt. I came fucking miles for this. I came clear across the world for this. Also, I feel like because your guys' legal drinking age is 18,
mm-hmm.
that girl may have been a little too young.
Yeah, you got to be careful. If you know what bars to stay away from, you can stay away from the 18-year-olds in general.
It's one of those things where I also think, like, in America, people have fakes and drink under 21 in bars and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So if the legal drinking age is 18, there are probably people well under 18 that are in bars. Because I vaguely remember her saying something about school the next day.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's... But in my brain, I'm like...
College? Like you go to university?
I'm hoping. But I also was drunk and not thinking about that. Like, you only have to be 18 to be in this bar. So, like, in my brain, I'm like, oh, you're 21. Like, uni, something like that. And then the next morning when I was sober, I'm like, oh, you only have to be 18 and you possibly had a fake.
Yeah. Oof. Wild.
See, like, I may have very much dodged a bullet.
For sure. See, it's weird. Like, as I'm getting older, my taste in women is getting older as well, like, as I age. Like, I turned 30 the other day. And there's something, I think, like, my age cutoff now has to be, like, 25, maybe. 24, I guess? I don't know. But, like, I mean, yeah, like, girls are later, like, from, like, 20 to 23, 24, and it's kind of like, I can tell that they are 23, 24. And there's just something about it that's just like a inbuilt red flag to me. It's strange.
It is if I'm actually trying to date them. Orgasms. Orgasms sometimes are like, oh, you're really hot.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
But for actually like dating and spending time with, like, no, you need to be like probably late 20s, early 30s.
I've gotten way more selective with like who I have casual sex with nowadays. I guess because like I said before, that itch is truly scratched. I'm like a woman in that regard that like the sex is just like part of it. I'm looking for the other things as well. Like,
are you going to cuddle me and take care of me?
Are you emotionally available for me?
See, I'm looking for that too, but it's also like sometimes I have a little too much to drink and then it's like, well, an orgasm would be nice.
It's like a constant struggle. Like you're fighting the horny brain and the rational brain.
Yeah.
And then like, work-wise thing, like things to do with like my career, always listen to the rational brain is my rule. There's like no booty calling anyone I work with, anyone in the industry. Like there's always think with the rational brain. There's you see people fall all the time because they thought with their horny brain and they messed up.
As an older dude, I would just advise always thinking with the rational brain.
Well, it's not always easy.
Oh no, it's definitely not. Like a couple nights ago, a performer friend of mine posted like on her, you know, close friend's IG stories about like that she just wants to get laid tonight. Like it would just be nice to like have someone like, you know, on top
don't
of me.
Reply, don't reply. Don't reply.
It's a lot of willpower. Like, we never have never had that kind of relationship. I don't think she's interested. But it took a lot of willpower to be like, yo, I can be there in 15 minutes.
just swap next. You never saw that. Yeah. Close that down.
I'm not talking about a podcast that she may listen to. It was hot, girl. It was hot.
But then you never know. Did she like take everyone else out of her close friends but you and then post that?
I doubt that. Like rational brain goes, oh, we don't interact like that when she's sober.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People present what they want.
Yep.
I was supposed to go out like with someone tomorrow night and It's like, hit her up like, hey, what's the plan? You know, she's just like, oh, I gotta blah, blah, focus on my blah. Like, cool. Okay, mm-hmm. We're just never going to pursue that again. Like,
yep.
Because if this is where you wanted to be, you go for it.
Yeah. If someone gives you like a reason, it's like, oh, that's, you know, don't pursue it past that. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I responded with like, oh, well, that's cool. I bummed. I was looking forward to it. No worries.
Yeah.
Like, that's the extent of it.
Yep.
But horny brain would be like, oh, she posts a thirst trap. Like, no, you don't do it. She has made it clear that like, this is not a priority. Have some fucking self-respect.
100%. Yeah. See, like for me as well, like I'm 30 years old. I started in the industry like a year and a half ago. I've worked regular jobs for nearly 15 years. So I've learned all these things, like sometimes the hard way, sometimes from seeing other people, like don't shit where you eat, like try not to date coworkers and colleagues and all these different things that you learn at different jobs. I'm fortunate enough to come into the industry already knowing ahead of time, like don't get fucked up at the staff party. Like, because I've been to a few porn parties in LA. I'm not going to be the most fucked up person there. Like I'm leaving the party vertical. I'm walking out. I'm not getting carried out of another party, another staff party.
Well, I'm not going to get carried out. I'm not going to be the sober one either.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A couple of drinks and then like, because you see the people there, like their first time, you know, open bar, going too wild. Like, so, I made the rookie mistakes off camera in my personal life well before the industry.
Oh, I've made those mistakes. Hell, I've made those mistakes like at parties but exited before it became an issue. Like,
there are definitely... You knew when to leave.
Yeah, it's like, oh... I'm going to be real drunk real soon. I should go now. There have definitely like been industry parties where like, I've gone, hell, the party a couple weeks ago, I came home and slept on my bathroom floor. Like, I knew when to make my exit.
Yep.
No one at that party was like, oh, Matt was trash. No, It was like, yeah.
Yep.
I'm drunk. That edible is going to kick in any second now. It's time to go. And thankfully, the person I was there with was also like, I got to be up in the morning. I'm like, perfect. Let's roll.
Yep.
I'll call the Uber. Let's go.
Things aren't getting any better from here.
Right. Dropped her off, went home, didn't embarrass myself with her either. So like,
yep.
Win, 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 win.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, it's too real. Just don't make those creepy moves. Don't just stay in your lane. It's like, it's weird. Like, I feel like I have these like platonic friendships with these women that I have sex with. Like the sex is just like an on-camera performative aspect of like how we know each other. Beyond that, we're colleagues, we're coworkers, we have a platonic friendship and it doesn't go beyond that. And that's fine. That's how it is. That's the way to look at it.
It's work.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's documented, so I'll talk about it, but like over the years of doing the show, there have been people I've hooked up with like during the show. And like, I made a very conscious decision in the last couple of years, like, oh, I shouldn't do that.
Yep.
And because I never thought about like, oh, this is fun. Like this is, but this is also still my fucking business. And one of my friends was like, dude, the power dynamic. I'm like, there's a power dynamic here. Like, I just never thought about it. Like,
yeah, it's definitely something to be conscious of. And like, I've become very conscious of it myself as my profile's grown, but there is like a coercive power in having a platform where people are more like suggestible. They're more influenceable because you have this platform that's bigger than theirs. And I realized that when I worked with, did my first America trip, was lucky enough to work with some big names over here, went back home and worked with a girl in Australia. And I was doing the regular like pre-shoot consent chat, you know, to the UK with kissing, slapping, choking, whatever. And I asked her, is she okay with being slapped? And her response was, if you want to slap me, you can. I was like, pause. Like, all right, this isn't how this works. Like, do you enjoy it? Do you want it to happen? But that coercive power of having a platform, and in her mind, it was like, the decision's up to me where it's not.
Right, like, oh my God, will he not want to shoot with me if I say no?
Yeah, right. And it's like, which is why I generally don't shoot with new people in the industry or like inexperienced people for that reason. Like I like shooting with people that when I do those pre-shoot consent chats, they know exactly what their limits are. Like, don't do this. Like, don't touch the left side of my face. Stay away from my feet. Don't do this, 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 this. Like, they know what they like and don't like.
Right.
As opposed to rookies that are just suggestible and they'll say, I have no limits, which is a lie.
Like, right. Everyone has limits.
Right. Yeah. Don't say you have no limits. You have limits. You're going to figure them out eventually, but be careful.
Right. Exactly. And like, thankfully you're being a good dude about it because other people in this industry may not be.
Right. They realize they have a platform and then take advantage of that, which is the wrong way to go about it.
100%. And like, I will admit that like, it was just me being absent-minded about being like, oh, I have a platform. They're like, there's a power dynamic. Like, It's like, oh, we're sitting here bullshitting and drinking. I don't.
Right. Yeah.
I never thought about it. And like every time it's been hooked up, like, honestly, the other party was the aggressor. Like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, they'll come on to you because, you know, you have the platform, whatever it is.
Yeah, so there's a very infamous episode of the show. Like, it's from years ago from the audio only. Like, the performer literally multiple times on air, like, propositioned me. It was just like, so when are you going to fuck me? And I was just like, ha ha ha, played along with it.
Yep.
And eventually, like, I paused the episode. Like, are you doing a bit right now or are you serious? And she's like, well, that depends on you. I'm like, well, okay. And we went and banged it out. And then we got back on air and talked about it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, 2 weeks after it happened, 4 days after it aired, she hit me up with, like, I sound like an idiot. You need to take that down.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, well, that doesn't benefit anybody. Well, it benefited me because I turned it into one of the funniest things we've ever done on the show, which is I removed any mention of who it was and then had a male friend of mine re-record her parts and put it back up with my original dialogue. So you have a male comic friend of mine who has a deeper voice than me talking about how my cum tastes.
Oh, fuck.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And that came about because she didn't say thank you when I agreed to take it down. Like, all I needed was a thank you.
Yeah, right.
But I never thought about, like, oh, hey, that happened because I have the platform or some shit. Like,
Right.
In my mind, I'm just like, oh, we're having a good time. She's into me. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it took someone pointing that out to me to be like, oh, yeah, no, I shouldn't do that. Like, the person I was supposed to hang out with tomorrow was like someone who had been on the show recently. I'm like, I don't do this on show nights. If you want to hang out sometime, we can hang out.
Yeah, yeah. See, my rule, like, is like I said before, like, every now and then you have like a little fling with someone you work with, like, these things happen. My personal rule is like three words: reciprocate, don't initiate. Like, if there's been times where, like, because I'll never initiate anything, and like there's a girl I'm with, whatever, and like she doesn't initiate anything, and then she'll be like, oh, like, why didn't anything happen? I'm like, well, like, I'm not going to try to make a move on you because I'm just going to assume we're just like platonic colleagues. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and I'm happy to like leave it at that. Like, it's totally fine. Unless someone is like showing like overt, obvious interest. And like,
Every time I've had sex with someone who's done the show, it was overt, obvious interest. It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
And these days, I just put the brakes on it. If it does happen, it's just like, we can hang out tomorrow. Tomorrow, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
But right now, no.
Yeah. Especially with drinking involved.
Yeah. Like,
on set, especially, like, no drinking whatsoever. Like, it's the other thing about working with experienced professional people is they know don't show up under the influence of anything.
Some people still do.
Right. Well, I've never had to tell anyone, like, don't. Like, oh, there's been like one time where I've stopped to shoot because someone, I could smell the alcohol in their breath. I was like, all right, cut. Like, this isn't going to happen. Like, try another time. And then, like, obviously not. I'm not going to try another time.
And then you're like, I'm going to be nice to them.
We'll reschedule, do this later. And then it doesn't happen. But, like, you know, like, newer people don't know those kind of things. And it's like, when alcohol is involved, consent becomes a gray area.
Right.
And, like, it's better to just avoid that entirely.
Oh, I agree. And that's also why, like, anytime it's ever happened, it's like, they've been really overt about it. I saw, like,
yep.
That one person, like, literally had to pause the recorder and be like, are you being serious right now?
So what are we doing after this shoot?
I want to be able to walk tomorrow. Sorry, no. No. No.
All right, hey. No, once was fine.
No.
You're getting offensive now.
I see your eyes. Well, and like I've talked about this on air before too. It's just like, I'm a little bit older, but like in America as an, like my generation, like, there's a weird dynamics of like, oh, well, yeah, you got to try to pursue it and try to convince them a little bit. It's like, gross. And it's,
yeah,
it's not right. But like the older generation was just fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then we got our fucking morals from them. And like, you have to unlearn bad fucking habits of.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah. There's old, like you see it in old media. There's some creepy fucking old people out there.
Yeah. Well, I remember like semi-innocent shit, like being at a restaurant with my father and like the waitress being a little flirty because it's her fucking job. She's a waitress.
Yeah.
You should try to get her number. Yeah. Like, what, dad?
But yeah, just older people being like mad coercive to young women back in the day. Like, it's.
Or even women their own fucking age.
Just, yeah. No, it's disgusting. Yeah, no, it's. I don't know. I'm happy to just kind of keep my own like space around me. If someone wants to like approach me, that's great for sure. But I'm I'm not trying to make anyone uncomfortable at all at any point for any reason. Like, if you want space, have you? I tend to like mirror people that I'm around. So like, if you're like, if you sit next to me, put your arm around me, I'll put my arm around you. If you sit on the other side of the room, I'll stay on the other side of the room to you, and we can chat long distance. Like I'm doing that.
It's the better way to operate. I definitely know some women who are like still in that old school mindset of like, well, why isn't he chasing me?
Yeah.
And it becomes difficult to fucking navigate it. Like, we should all be able to just close in our intentions here and like no hard
like,
fucking
I will say like it's different. So like with women that aren't colleagues, like colleagues, I'm 100%. It's like I'm at work, you know, not to say I'm not being authentic, but I'm being, there's like a work persona. There's a work, you know, like way of interacting with people, professional mannerisms.
Especially in this industry, it is so small and like you have a good reputation. Like I have had multiple people on who have worked with you recently and everyone is just singing your fucking praises.
Oh, that's good.
That's
good feedback as I can hope for. Thanks.
Like if you had done something scummy, I'm sure I would have fucking heard about it.
Yeah. Like word spreads quickly in the industry.
100% it does. Mm. Like this is the 13th grade. It is fucking high school.
Yeah. The gossip people fucking is there. Gossip. Yep. But yeah, no, but then like there's a difference as well between like the colleagues and like, you know, the professional persona that you have with the colleagues and like people off camera that you know personally. Like it's, you can take more liberties with people in your personal life, I guess, as opposed to colleagues. It's like things like, say like being like, oh, I don't even know how to put it. But like before a porn shoot, you go through every possible thing that could happen. Choking's like before, it's a whole list of things you go through for what can happen on camera. And that's really important. But it's not like you're going home with someone on a date and you're in the Uber saying, can I choke you? Can I spit on you? Can I slap you? Like all these things. Like,
hell, most civilian women would be like, I'm getting out now.
Yeah, exactly. There is kind of like, there's a difference when it's on camera versus off camera for sure.
Oh, definitely. Hell, I was involved with a woman. She legitimately said to me, like before we hooked up the first time, like, I want a man that will ask forgiveness, not permission. I'm just like, all right.
That's risky. That's risky.
Oh.
I mean,
it was fun.
Yeah, yeah, I bet.
But like, I slapped her at one point and she's just like, her eyes got wide. I mean, she came back for more, but it was still like.
The 1,000-yard stare?
Yeah, it was just like you said.
Forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I'd be comfortable doing that. Like, I'm a big old wuss when it comes to, like, I filmed with Joanna Angel, and I was doing the edit, and I watched my slaps on her, and it was like you could barely even it didn't even register on the audio thing on the edit. My slaps were like a little like light love tap. It was weak. Joanna Angel. Like 11. Yeah, but she is like hardcore, and I'm giving her a little like I don't even know if she even felt it. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean,
but I love that like. What I look for when I'm doing that like pre-shoot consent chat is enthusiastic consent. Like I, like the girl that was like, can I choke you? And she said, if you want, like that's a no, I'm not going to choke you. If I say like, do you like to be slapped? And they say, yeah, it's okay. Maybe, maybe not. Like if any, like if you want me to in the moment, I'll do it. But like, I remember once I was hooking up with a girl and I asked if I could slap her. This is off camera. Like I actually went home with a stripper. Little brag. And
I want to hear whole story. I want to hear the whole story.
I mean, that's as much as a story. Like, well, went home with the stripper.
Well, no, like, where was the strip club? Where'd you meet her?
I'm not. They get in trouble for doing this kind of thing. I'm not giving details.
Don't give me your name.
I mean, it was.
It's not a strip club with one stripper, is it?
No, it was a strip club in Australia.
Okay.
We went back to mine after that, and she said, "Oh, can I choke you?" And she looked at me and said, "Oh, no." I asked if I could slap her, and she said. Slap me so hard, my ears ring. I'm like, all right, that is enthusiastic consent if I've ever heard it. Like, all right, you know what you want. You've done this before. Perfect. Beyond that, like, I'm not comfortable slapping anyone, like, beyond, like, a mild slap unless they're that enthusiastic about it. Like, that's what I want to hear. As soon as I heard that, I was like, all right, cool. You know what you want. And that's like, every shoot I do, I'm looking for that, like, fuck, like, if I say, like, can I spank you, choke you? Fuck yeah, do like make my face turn purple. I'm like, all right, now I'm comfortable doing it.
Well, and
otherwise I'm gonna do it like light as.
I wish more women were comfortable like freely expressing that.
Ooh.
Because there's still some stigma of like, oh, what will he think of me if I...
Right, yeah.
And that sucks. Like, tell us what you want. We're not fucking mind readers.
Oh man, some women like... I worked with this girl lately called Gia Durza.
And I know Gia.
Do you know Gia?
Yeah.
She is wild. We had so much. We shot together twice. She's wild. And I haven't done much anal before in my life. Like, it's been, at that time, it was maybe like 6 times all on camera. Like, every civilian girl I've ever dated that was like, that I've dated said they'll never do anal. Like, dick's too big to do anal.
Started doing. No, like, assholes are hungry.
Yeah, I started doing porn. All these porn girls are like, if they love anal, it's easier in their ass.
Oh, no. I definitely know some girls who are like, with a dick your size, would be like, I'm only taking it in my ass.
Yeah, that happened a few times. Joanna Angel did that. But I worked with Gia Durs and I like go through the full chat. And I'm like, if it's too much, feel free to like say stop or cut, whatever you need to do, like be comfortable. And I was like, and by the way, like, cause I knew she wanted to do anal. I'm like, by the way, I haven't done a whole lot of anal. So if you think I'm doing something wrong, feel free to tell me. Cause I'm just not like, I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing there. And she looked at me and she's like, just fuck my ass like a pussy. All right. You got it.
Done and done.
She is built for it. She is. That's the Goldilocks holes for me. That's just not too tight, not too, just perfect. Just wild. We had a lot of fun. That was so funny. Just to fuck my ass like a pussy.
Girl knows what she wants.
Bless you, Gio.
And more people should be like that. Like, if we're at that moment, like, we're going to have sex, just tell me. Like,
yeah. It is like, I can see how some people would be uncomfortable doing it if they haven't done it before. Like me, I am so in my element having that pre-consent chat. Even like nowadays, like going home with girls, like from dates and stuff like that, I'll have already broached all these things ahead of time in some casual way. But like, I can see how people wouldn't do that before they go into it. And they just end up having this like mild vanilla sex that they don't really enjoy or they're not open to exploring, but they should.
Right.
Have a frank, like you're going to have sex with someone, you can have a discussion with the person about consent and not even just about consent, but what you want to try.
Exactly. Like, if you are that uncomfortable with the person you're having sex with, don't have sex with them.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, yeah, no, it makes no sense to me like that. But also like, if you want to try something, like, yeah, just tell that person. And like, if you're exploring off camera, so like if start off mild, if you don't enjoy it, it's not like that's footage is going to live forever.
Right.
Like exploring off camera. I'm way more comfortable exploring things off camera than I am on camera because there's no footage of it. If it wasn't great for you, that's just a learning experience and don't do it again. Move on. Like we can move on from there. Like,
yeah, there's not some sour face of like,
yeah, right. It's not like you have that in the back of your mind that footage is going to live forever.
We need to change these stigmas around sex for everybody. Like just clearly communicate what you fucking want, what you don't want. It's
yeah. You want to try something? Do it.
Right.
Chances are they're going to enjoy it.
Right. And if someone's like, that's not my bag, like, okay, cool.
Hmm.
There are plenty of other things that are fucking fun.
And figure these things out early on too. Like don't wait a year and then be like, I kind of want to try this. Like I kind of want to try pegging. And your man's like, absolutely not. Like,
right. You just wasted a year of your life. You're never getting back with someone like, who is not going to fulfill your sexual fantasies.
Yeah, exactly.
Ladies, I will not let you peg me. I have digestive problems. I'm just putting that out there right now. Don't even waste your time with me.
Give G a call. See if she has any tips for you.
I mean, if she knows how to cure Crohn's disease, I ain't...
I don't know about that. Call Pete Davidson.
Well, I don't want to learn how to lose my father in 9/11. I mean...
That's not something you can teach.
Well, he knows. He has first-hand experience. He can tell me how to cope. Apparently, it's by banging every hot celebrity in the fucking world.
I'm trying to be like him. Celebrities need to get in my DMs. There's been a couple, but I'm just waiting for... Who would be the celebrity?
This is time for your call out. There's a camera. There's a microphone. Fucking you won the fight. Who are you calling out?
Is Kim K got a man?
I don't know, man. Like Kim K pre like Kanye marriage and multiple kids. Sure. There's so much fucking drama that comes with that orgasm now.
Who would it be? I don't even know. Iggy Azalea. She's Australian. We'll get with it.
You're going for a country woman? What about Margot Robbie?
Yeah, she's cool. Iggy's more my speed.
A little trashier?
No, thicker.
Ah.
Can't blame me.
I know. Can't blame you.
Going to be Eskimo Brothers with Playboy Cardi?
Nothing wrong with that. Is it just Iggy? No one else you want to call out?
Ooh. I can't think of this one girl's name, but she's an actor in this like TV show I watched recently.
What's the TV show?
Can't even remember the name of it. But she has like this great memory. No, she's like a poker player. but she doesn't play anymore. She works in a casino. This is going to be the most boring story for everyone watching this.
We'll figure it out. I'll fix it in post. Look,
if I think of any celebrities in the meantime, I'll just chime in like, wait, stop talking. I've remembered a celebrity.
This is an important conversation. Scarlett Johansson.
Overrated.
Really?
I think so. What? I mean, she's attractive, but people talk about her like she's like the second coming of Megan Fox in Transformers 1. Like, I don't know about that.
I mean, Megan Fox is beautiful, and she definitely is beautiful in Transformers 1, but like...
That was just... I was like coming of age as that movie came out. That was me and every guy. It was like, what? I was like grade 10, 11 when that came out. Me and every guy in the world's crush that age, Megan Fox.
Yeah, she's just not a great actress, though, is the problem.
I beg to differ. She was amazing in Transformers 1. I've seen that movie a lot of times.
It's not a great movie. Not a great movie.
You take that back.
The interview's over. Just flip the Fuck this. I can't believe I wasted my time with this
shit. Keep Megan Fox's name out your mouth.
See, I think Scarlett's fairly talented too, so it's like
I didn't put talent into that equation.
You're just like orgasm.
I was just like based off like attractiveness. She's gorgeous, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Scarlett, feel free to slide into my DMs if you're listening to this. She won't.
You never know.
I can be pretty certain.
I mean, isn't she married to some dude from SNL? Like
really?
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, Colin Jost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colin Jost, like, she's obviously...
She's doing fine.
She's obviously into personality.
She wouldn't be into me, then.
Oh. Oof. With the self-own.
I mean, hey, I'm famous for one thing, and it's not my personality.
Well, we're working on that right now. We're working on it for you.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Maybe one day.
By the end of this, Scar Joe's going to be like, Colin who? I mean, she's obviously into people with personality. She was married to Ryan Reynolds for a minute, too, so.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
See, it's intimidating dating a girl that has, like, famous and reputable, like, past boyfriends. Like, I had, not that it's competition, but it's intimidating.
You really think so?
Yeah. I had a little fling with a girl whose, like, ex-boyfriend is just, like, really, like, incredibly interesting guy. Like, I'm a fan of the dude. Incredibly interesting guy. And then, like, what do I bring to the table after that? Like,
but you're here now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would be like me being like, oh, I can never have sex with anyone you've ever had sex with. Our penises do not compare. I have to like acknowledge that like, oh, I'm here now. She chose to be here now.
Mm.
Like, I can't be hung up on she was there once.
Yeah.
This is where she chose to be at the moment.
Mm,
she may regret it, but she's here now.
Yeah. Some people are just so interesting though.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's with me at that point, she's with me. Like, you know, I'm not bothered by it. But it's just weird to think about sometimes. Some people are very impressive.
They are. I don't know why the
thought of being impressive for more than physical attributes, wild. That's my determining factor.
But the thing about it is, like, on some of these people, are they actually that cool, or is it all just what you get to see?
What's weird about meeting these people, like semi-famous people that you see on the internet and stuff like that, the more I meet them, the more I realize they're just regular people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they are very normal.
They're very normal. And depending on what medium they're in, they're only presented as famous and awesome and all that shit because some gatekeeper signed off on them.
Mm. Or they have, like, a great team around them that has this, like, amazing aura on their online persona. And then you meet them and they're just, like, a completely regular person.
Right. But that was all brought on by gatekeepers and people just being like, oh, yes, you can be in this movie. Now you have the budget to have a team and have all this marketing.
Mm.
And it needs the like right mindset to be able to handle that because, boy, some people don't handle fame well.
Yeah, no.
I have a theory that like if you are famous for too long, something wrong happens in your brain. Because I've definitely interacted with some celebrities who have been famous for like 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And the greater majority of them, something's just wrong.
I get that. But people that get famous young.
Well, I don't even know if they're necessarily young. But like,
people that never knew different. People that like their first job had them making crazy money or like, you know, getting recognized. And they didn't have that regular like day job life, the grinding it out, the struggling with bills and stuff like that.
Well, I don't even think it's just the struggling with bills. It's the fact that like they've been surrounded by so many people that whose whole livelihood is based on keeping them happy.
Mm.
They don't know adversity. They don't know someone being like, no, fuck you, dude. Well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because am I going to, even if I disagree with this person, if my entire livelihood is based on keeping them happy,
yeah.
am I going to tell them that they're fucking wrong?
No way.
Right.
Mm.
Like, oh, I've grown accustomed to this lifestyle and fuck, I have no other marketable skills.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Totally right, dude.
Walk all over me, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, some people, yeah. Some people just aren't regular people.
And I think the longer you're out separated from reality, like, the worse it gets. Like, I definitely think people in this industry should still have civilian friends. People that call them by their legal fucking name.
Yeah.
And people who just are like, call them on their shit.
So that's why I'm so grateful that I have Australia as a home base. Like, I'll spend 2 months in LA, and it's like Disneyland out here. It's crazy. There's these parties and these people are just living these insane lives. And then I can just go home and I'm back with my boys, back with my family, and things just return to a regular pace. And I can like remove myself from this like ecosystem that I'm in of LA. Like the LA lifestyle is like, it's so easy to get wrapped up into it. And the next big opportunity is happening tomorrow. You just don't know about it yet. And these things just, you lose a little bit of your mind, like chasing this like perceived like important clout. And then I go home and it's like a week of decompressing and getting over jet lag. And it's like, wait a minute, like now I'm back to like normal life and catching the train and seeing my friends and family. I'm
calling you a cunt.
Yeah. Like if I cut in front of someone, like, no one's going to let me do shit to them. You know what I mean? Man? My boys will call me on my shit real quick.
And that's important to have. It's important to stay fucking grounded.
100%. Yeah. Like I'll tell them cool stories, but they wouldn't let me get big headed. They wouldn't let me do shit. Like that's, they're going to call me on my shit real quick.
I mean, for me, it took me a very long time to like be comfortable with people that I met outside the industry, like calling me by my stage name. It was just like, no, no, no. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, see, I introduce myself to people in the industry with my real name because my stage name is Girthmaster.
Yeah.
Which is an awkward one. Like I'm at a party. I'm not going to say, hi, I'm Girthmaster. Like, no, I'm...
You got to put some bass in it. You're like, I'm Girthmaster.
Girthmaster.
Yeah, you can't just be like...
Finish
like,
him.
You can't just say it like a fucking normal name. Come on.
How you going? I'm Girthmaster.
Exactly. Much better. Much better. We got to workshop this a little.
But no, I'll use my real name when I introduce myself to people, which is, again, a little weird, but like it's easier than Girth. Although I have like industry friends back home that still call me Girth. Like we'll be out in public at a bar or something. They're like, hey, Girthy.
You chose this.
I did. When I chose it, I had no idea it would get to where it is. Like I had to spend 2 weeks. I moved back to Australia, started a Twitter page, and I had to spend 2 weeks in like hotel quarantine in Australia, government quarantine lockdown from COVID. And I had a phone, started a Twitter page, started posting dick pics for fun. And I chose Girthmaster just because it was funny to me. It sounded like a transformer. Like it was a funny name. Never saw it becoming me being an international porn creator. Like this is the craziest reality I could have imagined from that. It was just like a hobby. And then hooked up with a girl from like Tinder or Hinge that had OnlyFans. She told me how much money she was making and there's no dudes doing it in Australia. So I started and next thing I knew, I'm traveling the world making porn. And I'm stuck. Like there was multiple times where I thought of changing the name. It's grown on me now and it's actually doing me really well. Like the name gets more attention than anything else, but yeah, no, I never saw it coming this far. Girthmaster was never meant to last more than 2 weeks.
So assuming that like you didn't go down the road that you went, like if you didn't start taking dick pics stuck in the quarantine hotel, what were you planning to do when you got back to Australia?
So when I got back to Australia, this is kind of crazy. I was $50,000 in debt. Moved back to Australia.
Australian dollars are real dollars.
Sorry, about 40,000 freedom dollars. That's so I was about 40,000 American dollars in debt. I moved in with, like, called up all the boys back home. Like, I've been overseas for 3 years. Called the boys back home. One of them's like, yeah, mate, like, you can move into my office. So I had a mattress on the floor of one of my boys' offices. And I'd work for him. He had a landscaping business. Work for him 3 days a week to pay rent, and he'd like cook me dinner every night. And that was like how I was getting by for a few weeks till I got like an office job, first ever office job, stuck with that for about a year and a bit. But about a few months into that office job, it was clear that like budget, I did my budget. By the time I was paying back my debt, I had like $100 play money every week which is nothing. So I had to get something else going. And then I decided to monetize that Twitter page I had going, and things snowballed. And I kept my day job for a while after I started, but nearly a year after I started my OnlyFans, I had my day job, which was really weird because I'd finish work on a Friday, fly to like Melbourne, shoot a couple of crack, a threesome, and then another scene in Melbourne that weekend, fly back to Brisbane where I live and back to the office. And just like the idle chat in the office on the Monday, like, hey, like, how was your kid's volleyball tournament on the weekend? And they'd ask me what I did on the weekend. And I'm like, kept it quiet, hung out with some friends, didn't have threesomes in Melbourne on the weekend. Like, right. Very normal life, little double life. But I kept that going for ages. And then I quit in January. So I finished up in February, came to America in March and started shooting porn out here. And the ball's been rolling ever since.
What was the resignation like? I'm going off to fuck Angela White. Fuck you, I'm out.
No. I haven't actually spoken to Angela about shooting.
Why not? She's lovely.
I've heard great things.
Have you not met her?
I met her at a convention once. She's a lovely person, though. That would be amazing.
She's the reason I've ever tasted a Vegemite, so.
Really? Yeah. I've got Vegemite back home. I brought some with me.
Not the same.
No, she's amazing. Would love to one day. Fingers crossed. Like, she is also Angela White. Like the.
Yeah, you'll have to like book that like a year out. She's really busy.
I mean, she is Angela White. Like, it's, you know what I mean? If it ever happens, amazing. But
see, there's the celebrity call out right there.
No, I mean, not a call out, no pressure. She's great. Maybe if I'm lucky. But what were we saying before that? Sorry, my brain's
you're like Angela White. No, you quit your day job.
Yeah, quit my day job. I came up with some yarn about like I started a software company or something like that in my spare time, like some bullshit. And
you're really not about hurting people's feelings, are you?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I tried to quit in like October, but there was this like lovely Japanese lady that I worked with, and she hadn't been home since before COVID. And she had a trip, like a holiday back to Japan planned in like December. Like she's going to be gone for a month over Christmas. And like, she was the backbone of the company I worked in. Like without her, it'd crumble. I was like, all right, cool. Like I stayed on for an extra like 4 months to like learn part of her role. So while she was gone, I could like keep her department running until she got back. And the day she came back, I handed him a resignation. And we had to work another month for like, you know, have like a 4 week resignation period.
4 weeks in Australia?
Yeah. I resigned on like the day before Christmas holidays started. So my last day was like 28th of January. Had February off. I was like already doing OnlyFans, doing pretty well at that point. I was like I think I was like 0.6% when I quit on OnlyFans, which is pretty good. And then
horrible. 0.6%.
Terrible. I could barely make a living.
Right.
And then spent a month in Australia getting ready for the trip to America. Came to America. I was like, I got really lucky when I came to America. Like my third day in America, I shot with Kazumi. And that like put me on everyone's radar. And things just, again, like kept snowballing. More people hit me up to shoot. I kept shooting with them, made more connections. And since then, just traveled through Europe and back to America again and back to Europe next year and back to America again, I'm sure.
So where do you want to go next? Like where's the ideal location to shoot?
So I'm looking forward to going back to Australia for a few months, Christmas with the family and all that. I'm thinking I'll head...
Summer Christmas.
Yeah, 40 degrees for Christmas. Oh, wait. What's it in freedom units?
I don't fucking know. Like, I can't do the conversion.
110 degrees in Christmas. Can't use the oven because it's too hot. Yeah. But we still have the white Christmas music in the stores. Mariah Carey singing. Yeah. Like, all I want is a white Christmas and it's 110 degrees out.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah. But no, so I'm going to stay in Australia for a few months. Maybe come back for the AVNs. I haven't decided yet. It's in January. If not, I'm going to do 3 months in Europe next year. Maybe after June, though. So I may do like a South America trip in the meantime because I know I'm going to get the travel bug again soon because I love to travel. And even before.
Australia, but, you're required to.
Yeah, we're required by law to just leave the country. So
you were here for a whole year? You're a criminal.
Literally. But yeah, no, I love to travel. So I'll probably do South America next year at some point.
We're in South America.
I'm not even sure. I'll hit Brazil for sure.
Colombia's a good time.
Some places in Mexico, some places in Colombia. All over, really. I'll probably do like a month or two jumping about. Depends where creators are, too. There's a couple of big names down there that I've spoken to that want to shoot.
There's definitely got to be some creators in Colombia.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My boy Max Fills is from Columbia. He's a little bitch though, but you know Max Fills?
I don't know Max.
He's this like creator, like does a lot of pro shoots of brass and stuff like that. The other night we were at a party. You know he doesn't know how to tie his own shoelaces?
What?
Yeah, we were at a party. He had like some like dress shoes on. Shoelace came undone. He has a girlfriend, Haley, who's great. Haley's lovely. He doesn't know how to tie his shoelaces. He's like, normally Haley ties them. So I had to tie his shoelace for him. Max Fills can't tie his own shoelaces.
It's a little emasculating.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I feel for him. Could be like a learning disability or something, but like, yeah. I mean, but you know.
I learn how to do it on YouTube, I promise you. If I can learn how to, you know, do audio editing on YouTube, I'm sure I can learn how to tie. What the fuck?
But yeah, no. So I'll definitely go to Colombia at some point. Brazil. Yeah. Places in Mexico. Half travel, half work. Well, mostly work. Like, it always ends up being all work, you know. That's how Barcelona started. It was literally just a week in Barcelona as a holiday. And then it turns out it's a hub for porn, which I had no idea about.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple people hit me up to shoot down there. So I worked every day, which was fine.
Did you get to see any of Barcelona?
Yeah. Well, like my shoots, like because I do like my own content shoots, it takes at most 2 hours. So like you shoot in the middle of the day. So it'd be like you go for breakfast, see a bit of the city before that, do your little shoot, and then go exploring again. Like, see the nightlife. Barcelona is great. I loved it.
I want to go. Like, I've only been to Madrid, so I need to make to northern Spain at some point.
I've heard great things about Madrid, too.
Madrid was fun.
I've heard it. Some people say it's better than Barcelona.
I don't know. I mean, I've definitely heard that, too. But, like, I had a great time in Madrid. I'm bummed I only got to be there for about 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Spain, like, we were mostly on the Mediterranean coast, which was also rad.
Yep.
But not quite as cool as Madrid. Madrid was just a lot of fucking fun.
Mm. Yeah, I think Barcelona is like more old architecture, whereas Madrid is.
Oh, Madrid's a lot of old modern architecture too.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think Madrid's a lot more like modern and like clean, sophisticated type of city.
Well, there's definitely like when I was there in 2015, it was really surprising. There was a lot of like biker culture.
Like motorbikes or cyclists?
Like motorcycles.
Motorbikes.
Yeah.
Like gangs or?
Not gangs, but there was just like a bunch of like boutiques and stuff like that were like selling like biker like fashion and shit like that. I was in the Tribal district, which is like the former red light district that got converted into like an artist district. Like one of the rings I very rarely wear is like a skull and crossbones on an ace of spades that I bought in Madrid.
Yeah,
like in some biker shop there. It was just like, oh, this is really weird. I never expected to see like Americanized like biker culture.
Yeah. It's funny how far the American culture spreads.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's our only.
We were talking before about Japan.
Yeah.
They love American culture, which is kind of surprising given history, but.
Yeah. They love American culture. Don't necessarily love Americans.
Oh, I was going to say some shit, but we're on camera.
Yes. Yes, we are. We are on camera and microphone. Yes, so we are recording a podcast. This is going out to the.
My son is NDA, but anyway.
Would not be the first person where I'm like, why are you saying this? I have to cut this.
No, I know better than that.
Well, good. I appreciate that. As the person who does the post-production work on this show, I appreciate that. Two of my friends and I did like a UFC fight companion on Saturday, and it is probably not going to air because they just started getting ignorant. I'm like, I'm literally screaming into the mic, stop! Just stop!
You can't say these things. NDAs for a reason.
All right, just stop! Stop!
Oh my God, yeah, no, that's something that's come into my life recently that's terrifying. NDAs? Yeah. Terrifying, like, just the concept of it. Like, I don't think I'm going to break an NDA, but like, what if I fuck up?
Well, you got to remember, some NDAs have zero fucking teeth.
Some NDAs are like, you got to pay four times your salary.
Right. But the thing about it is you have to look at the NDA.
But also like, if they have $1 billion and I have my amount of money, they can just throw money at me until I'm broke.
They can. But like, say it's an NDA for, you can't say what happened when you entered some influencer's house or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
If they sue you for breaking the NDA, they're acknowledging it actually happened. So they are probably not going to follow through with that lawsuit.
So what if you like compound things like you break the NDA with something that actually happened and then you also add like, and then I saw them murder someone.
Well, that's slander or libel depending on how you.
Oh.
But the pure violation of the NDA,
I don't plan to break any NDAs, by the way.
Well, and like, because that's why NDAs are like useful in corporate environments. They're really kind of unenforceable in shit like that, because like, court is public record, dog. If you're going to sue me for breaking this NDA, that means that you're acknowledging it happened.
Well, that's like when people get done with like defamation lawsuits and they're like, I'm going to like sue you for defamation. You have to be prepared to bring out every single fact around the incident. You better be unimpeachable if you're going for someone for defamation.
Yeah.
100% unimpeachable, because you're going to bring up like, every single fact is going to come to light and be public record. Everyone's going to know every single detail. Every time I see someone talk about like defamation, it's like, you're not going through with that. You've said defamation, you're going to talk to a lawyer, and the lawyer is going to give you your options and tell you not to go to court on it.
Well, I very legitimately looked at like suing someone for defamation less than 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawyer advised me like, how many views did this video have on YouTube? You actually have to prove damages too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if someone defames you if it doesn't do any actual damage.
Right. Huh.
It's like, if someone defames you in the woods and no one's there to hear it, did they actually defame you?
I didn't know that part.
Right. You had to actually, part of the suit is actually proving damages.
Hmm. I've got a good friend back home who's a lawyer, and I love just like bouncing. Like whenever I have like some distant skirmish with anything legal, I love sending him like my take on it, and he's like, "Don't fucking do that! Don't you dare get into that!"
Yeah, a lot of times lawyers just like take the safe route, but yeah, 100% like I'm not gonna bring acknowledgement. I don't really want to bring traffic to the person's channel, but.
I just love raising his blood pressure. Like, hey, hypothetically, what would happen if, like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, you didn't, did you? Well, not yet, but I thought about it.
Right? Lawyers are always just like, oh, why?
That's their job. Face-palming and then charging a lot of money.
It's true. That's why you make friends with them, so they don't have to charge you a lot of money. So you can try to, like, I feel bad about it, but, like, yeah, I have some lawyer friends where it's just like, so, you know, I have this thing. Can you help?
Thanks for coming to dinner anyway. So if you can review this paperwork for me.
I definitely make it a point to like actually be their friend and be like,
No.
I'm not just hitting you up when I need shit.
I mean, I make it a point to never actually like, no serious work questions ever come up. It's like, if I've encountered something, it'll be like, I'll give him like a lighthearted bullshit version of it to make him laugh. I'm never going to be like, can you look over these documents for me and like pro bono make this go away? Like, no, it's. Is it like, yeah, like you said, friend first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be out here fucking using people. Yeah. Those are lawyers. They're vindictive.
Good to have on your side, though.
Oh, yeah.
My lawyer friend is a piece of shit, but he always says, like, every time I like call him out on anything, he'll just laugh and he's like, yeah, but when you're in lockup, who are you going to call?
Right, like, yeah. I'm your piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, everyone needs a piece of shit friend as long as they're your piece.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I might be immoral, but I'm your immoral friend.
Exactly. That is a necessary friend to have.
I mean, I almost said he's a good bloke. He's a shit bloke, but he's a good fellow.
As long as he has your back, right?
I think so. Most of the time.
As long as it's not conflict.
As long as it doesn't deter from his best interest.
That's most people.
Yeah.
There are very few people in this world who are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna sacrifice myself for you.
Nah, I love him to bits. He's a good fellow.
I love how the story just keeps changing. Like, yeah, no, he's a great dude. Great dude.
Piece of shit, but I love him to bits.
We all have that friend.
I'd do anything for him except most things.
Unless it involves getting you out of jail. Then yeah. I'd do anything for you, bro. You know this. You know this. Back on like the defamation and like the NDA shit, like a lot of it's just idle threats. It's just really to fucking try to scare people into complying with what the other party wants.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How many people are making you sign NDAs, by the way?
Not many, but like, you know, it's something that's now inside my like peripheral like realm. Like I'm encountering them. People that sign them, people that give them out, you know, like they're around. Something that like me, like a year ago, not even that, January, I was still working in a day job in an office. NDAs weren't a part, like, wasn't even a remote consideration. Like, I'd hear stories about, like, I had a friend that went to, like, a Justin Bieber hotel party, had to sign an NDA. And that was my only knowledge of NDAs. Like, oh, I guess, like, that's why they exist. And now they're just, like, well, at least once or twice a week, I'm hearing NDAs get thrown around.
Well, and they really actually should be existing in your corporate environment much more than they should in the party. Because if you actually leak fucking corporate secrets that you signed in for, yes, that's actual damage.
Yep.
And like, you leak these secrets. Yeah, we're coming after you for it.
Yep.
Justin Bieber, like, setting cats on fire.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Means if you started leaking that, Justin would have to acknowledge that that happened. It has no teeth.
Does that mean you could just lie on someone and then they have to prove that it either happened or...
Well...
If they acknowledge the fact that you're lying on it, they have to prove...
It. I mean, then it starts going into defamation, like...
Right. I keep my mouth shut. You know, I'm like, NDA or not, I'm just not going to talk my shit. Like, if I see something crazy, like...
Well, that's when you allegedly tell the story and like leave names out of it. Yeah. On a podcast, please.
I did see someone get fisted at a party the other week.
Male or female?
Female. Got a butthole fisted. What's her name? I know Sophia Locke was doing the fisting.
Oh, Sophia's cool. Great.
Sophia's great, yeah. She is so much fun to work with. I coined this term with her. She's like a golden retriever. She has golden retriever energy in porn. Because like we're working together and like you kind of like... You start filming, you go through the consent chat, but it's kind of like, how much do they really enjoy these things? And I said to her, I'm like, we like started out filming. I'm like, hey, like, can I slap you? And she's like, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Slap me. I was like, hey, can I choke you? Yeah. Yeah. Choke me. I love it. Like a golden retriever. Just like throw the ball.
I legitimately knowing Sophia think she'd be upset if you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. She is she gets violently enthusiastic when it comes to porn. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. Choke me. Slap me. Yeah. Throw the ball. I'm ready for it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, please do it. Yeah, I want it. Oh, I love it a bit.
Sophia's great. She's been on the show before. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely great person.
Hey, let me find the name of the girl because I don't want to leave her uncredited. She got fisted at a party on camera. Like, that deserves credit, if nothing else. I just feel terrible not actually acknowledging this girl.
I mean, she did the work. You have to...
Yeah, right.
Acknowledger.
What's her name? Dude, I feel horrible.
I mean, I hope you didn't save her in your phone. It's just like, girl getting fisted.
No, I've got the video, though.
You can always text Sophia and be like, who's your fist smell like? Then again, it's been a week, so knowing Sophia, it may smell like...
Scrolling Sophia's Twitter feed. Just wild, dude.
No, Sophia's great.
Yeah, she's crazy. We worked together in Barcelona.
What an exotic destination for an American performer.
Yeah. Nicole Aria. Yeah. Dude, I watched Nicole Aria get fisted by Sophia Locke at a party the other week. That shit was crazy. It was like one of my first LA porn parties. I'd been to one before that and nothing too crazy happened. And then I went to this other one at Kim Australia's house and someone got fisted.
I was supposed to show that one at Kimmy's. Whoops.
Oh, really? Dude, it was like, finally, I'm like, I'm at a porn party and finally something's crazy's happening.
Well, no, it's amazing how mundane a lot of them are.
Yeah. I was surprised by the first one. I'm like, damn, like no one's fucking at this porn party at a porn house. And then, yeah, Nicole Ari got fisted.
Are you going to the Halloween party on Friday?
No, which one's that?
There's the Heaven and Hell Halloween party on Friday.
Oh, someone invited me to that, I think. I don't know.
It's an in-public event. And like, it's not at someone's house. It's
oh, really?
Yeah, it's an annual thing that happens.
Oh, shit.
It'll be interesting to see if like how they have it cordoned off, because you probably haven't had this experience yet of like doing the public parties. They often will have the industry folks roped off, and then the civilians will be like hovering outside the ropes, like kind of staring, and I refer to it as the porn star zoo. Like, look at them. Are they going to fuck?
And I bet no one fucks.
No.
Of course not. For free?
Mm-mm. No. They're good networking events, but it's really just funny watching civilians just kind of like hover over the ropes, just like,
huh. Oh, well, porn people. I've seen them before.
Right? I've seen your channels.
That was the weird thing for me. Like, it's like, I've only, like, the first porn events I've ever been to was like a couple months ago in Amsterdam. And I've been to like a couple in LA. It's so weird seeing people in real life that I've like just seen on Twitter and like seen fucking for so long. Like, I've seen their genitals in every position I could imagine. Fucking all sorts of people. And now I'm like chatting to them. It's so strange.
Like they're real people. Oh my God. Like,
dude,
they had hopes and dreams they farted today.
Dude, it was so strange. I was in Amsterdam. First time I'd like ever been in a room full of other porn people. And I'm standing there lining up, waiting for like my ex-biz badge to like get into the different events and stuff like that. And this guy walks up to me. He's like, "Oh my God, are you Girthmaster?" I was like, "Yeah, man, what's up?" Like shook hands, chatted for a minute, and he walked away. But I was standing with a chick and he was meant to work with her the next day. Like they were going to shoot together and he didn't even see her or acknowledge her. He just saw me and he was like, "Oh my God, Girthmaster, what's up, man?"
It's you ever think it's weird? Like, do you feel weird about like someone fanning out like that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm so not used to it. And it happens like the first couple of events I went to, like all over XBiz Amsterdam. And then the first like that, I went to like a porn crush party in LA. And people like, they'd see me from like across the crowd and be like, "Girthmaster," and like shake my hand or like ask me for pictures and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm fanning out myself. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I've seen you online. Like, you're in the industry. I'm like just entering. It was crazy, yeah. And like the XBiz as well, like people ask me for pictures and stuff and blows me the fuck away, honestly. Like doesn't even seem real. I can't believe it's happening.
It's a weird feeling. I mean, I definitely am not getting it to that level, but I've definitely had it in the past. It's just like...
Yeah, being recognized, like, I can't lie. It is pretty fun being recognized. It's happened to me, like, it happens to me more in Australia, I'd say. Like in Australia, like I'm a bit of a hermit back home. I've got like, everything's in my block. Like I've got my gym, my grocery store, cafes, stuff like that, all like in my little area. But yeah, I got recognized in my gym, recognized at the bar. Like I got out of a taxi and this group of chicks were like, "Oh, you're that guy from TikTok." I was on a date with a girl at a bar. We were leaving and this group of girls walk in and they're like, "You're that guy. Oh my God." They started talking about me. Like I left my gym and as I'm leaving my gym, this chick's walking in. And the next day I go back to the gym. And my trainer's like, "Hey, do you remember that girl walking in yesterday as you were leaving?" I'm like, "Yeah." As soon as you left, she came up to me and she said, "Do you know who that was? Talking about me." Like she'd recognize me from the internet. Unreal, man. It's a lot of fun. Like people come up to like, I feel like the only people that acknowledge it like in person are drunk people though. Because no one sober will ever admit that they watch TikTok or watch porn. But as soon as they're drunk, they're all about it.
Oh, I acknowledge both of us in sober. Shit. Whoops.
Well, no one outside of LA.
Fair enough. Yeah.
No one in Australia acknowledges TikTok existence. Like it's like a guilty pleasure of every Australian.
Yeah. I'm sure if you look at the metrics, there's a lot of them watching.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Most of my TikTok audience, it's like 60% Australian women. It's crazy.
Like... Roughly how many numbers? Like how much of a percentage of the Australian population is watching you?
Well, it was wild because my biggest, like TikToks get deleted all the time because all my TikToks are just my dick and gray sweatpants. You can see the bulge. Very revealing. Very against community guidelines. My biggest TikTok, I got like 15 million views in like a week and a bit. And like there's only 23 million people in Australia. And I think like, I'd say like 70, 80% of the views were in Australia. So a decent portion of the Australian population has seen my dick in sweatpants.
Like if that was a run for parliament, you'd win.
I'm up there. I'm not opposed to it. I'll run for the sex party. In Australia, we have a sex party in politics. I'll run for them one day.
Would you run as Girthmaster?
I might have to drop the real name.
Like what... What are members of parliament called in Australia? Like, I don't even fucking know.
Parliamentarians? Politicians? Wankers?
Well, like, because say it's like, you know, congressperson or senator or...
Yeah, so they're all different levels, but like, you've got like, you know, your mayor's the lower level, and then you've got, you know, parliamentarians and...
Parliamentarian Girthmaster? Well, that's kind of mouthful. And,
like, the leader is the prime minister.
Oh, that's pretty lofty. Prime Minister Girthmaster?
I would never reach that lofty height. I think my...
PMGM.
If I did anything, it would be to run a campaign for the sex party to take away votes from like the Republican equivalent in Australia, the Liberal Party. Liberal Party.
I love that the Liberal Party is the conservatives.
Yeah. Liberal Nationals are the conservatives and the Labour Party is the left wing.
But you could be running for actual government. That's enough numbers.
I could. Maybe I'll do it.
It couldn't hurt your career if you win or lose. Like,
honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm down. Maybe one day, who knows? Push the sex party forward a little bit.
I think this should be your campaign announcement right here. I think I want that exclusive. Like,
vote one, Girthmaster. I guess I'll have to drop the real name because I know Angela White ran for the sex party, but But she already uses her real name, so there was no issue there. And somehow I don't think Girthmaster will attract too much of the public vote.
Take it without curiosity.
Although it will be a way to get my name in front of every single person in Australia.
Right.
They'll see that on the ballot paper. That'll work.
Right.
Free marketing.
Exactly. Like, the news stations will have to mention your name.
They'll pick it up too, actually.
Girthmaster runs
for Parliament. Pornstar running for politics.
Girthmaster runs for for Parliament. Come on. Especially if, like, you're in a well, you're in Adelaide now, but, like, if you're back in your hometown, like, a smaller part of Australia.
I think if I, like, I've had this thought before. If I'm, like, one day when I'm, like, 40, 50, if I move back to my, like, small town, I reckon I'd have a serious shot at being mayor. Be like the Arnie Schwarzenegger of regional Australia.
But why wouldn't you want to run for national office?
Too much pressure.
Sorry. You have to get your dick hard on the internet, and like that's not a lot of pressure.
No, I do that shit naturally.
Well, what do you think? Being in Parliament, come on.
Do you know who the former mayor of my hometown is?
Who?
He sold meat pies. Bob Manning. If it's not a Manning's pie, ask why. And he became the mayor.
I thought you were about to say Paul Hogan.
off the fame of selling meat pies, he became mayor.
So you guys do the same job, just kind of differently.
Sling meat, yeah. But I got a real shot. One day when I'm older, I want to, you know, a little sunshine years, move back home, become mayor.
Do it while you're still young and virile. Like, just legally move back into your parents' place.
But then I have to live in my hometown.
No, you wouldn't. Just legally move back to your parents' place. Like, set that as your mailing address. Like, you're never home anyways.
Maybe one. I mean, I've definitely considered it. Moving back home, becoming like the man in my hometown. Why not?
Sex party mayor of
Cairns. Where I'm from is like the Florida of Australia. Not necessarily it's not Miami.
So it's like the North Florida.
Yeah, it's like the North Florida of Australia. Of America, yeah. Of Australia. It's wild.
Yeah, North Florida of America.
North Florida of Australia. Yeah. Where I'm from is like the North Florida of Australia. It's like crocodiles, animals, people missing teeth. Like, there's some great people there. I was fortunate enough to go to a very good high school there, but.
I mean, you still have all your teeth.
No, I don't.
Okay. You're presenting like you have
I have all the front teeth. I'm a small town boy at heart.
Well, I'm sure that's a first for an interview.
You heard it here first, guys. I'm missing teeth. I'm not even going to elaborate on that one.
I'm kind of curious.
No. It's not even a good story. No, I just...
Well, make a good story up.
I just had poor hygiene. Like, my hometown in Australia is the only city in Australia that doesn't put fluoride in the tap water. Because it's chemicals. There's hippies up there. It's like the biggest hippie community in Australia is like half an hour from my hometown, Karanda. It's a lot of hippies, a lot of like tree huggers and stuff. Yeah, no. I remember once in Australia, I was like at a bar hitting on a girl and we were chatting and there was this like thing going on in the city at the time because they were cutting down these trees in the city center. And I started making a joke about how, because people had climbed the trees and I started making a joke about like these hippies in the trees. And she's like, oh yeah, my mom's friend's up there in one of them. Like it's a small world. And I mean, to be clear, these trees had been planted like 50 years prior. They weren't heritage trees. They were just like, planted them for the park, decided to renovate part of the park for a stadium. It's like, I started making a joke. No, oh, yeah, my mom's friend's up there. Like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, fuck me then. Yeah, I'm from, it's a bit of a hippie town. Good place. Natural beauty. Like, it's like Great Barrier Reef, oldest rainforest in the world, swimming holes, lovely place to grow up. But
not if you want to keep your teeth, though.
Could do some improvement, yeah. Add some fluoride to the water and you're sweet. Don't vote for the guy that sells meat pies.
Was he at least a good mayor?
I don't know, man. It's Florida, you know? Are there any of them good? As far as I know, he was great. And then a guy I went to high school with, his dad became the next mayor, I'm pretty sure. Was he mayor? Small town stuff, man. I don't know.
I'll have to Google it or some shit.
I really have no idea if they had an impact on the city or not. You know, they're just mayor of a regional town. I do love my hometown, though. It's great.
I think you should run. I think you should.
I think I could make it. One day, if I want to live there again, you know, I'm a native son of the city. I'll make it. As long as you don't air these parts about the shitty things I said. I'll run on a platform of introducing fluoride to the water.
There you go.
But I might not make it for that reason.
But then again, by that point, they may decide that like fluoride's a horrible chemical and like causes Alzheimer's or some shit. Who knows?
Oh, my city already made that decision. We're ahead of the curve, baby. Keep fluoride out of our water. We don't want good teeth.
It's like, no iodine in the salt either. Fuck it.
Good times. Australia's a lovely place, though.
I want to go back. I have to go back. I have to have sex on your continent.
Come down under. I'll give you a tour.
That's the plan. The plan is to come down under. I've been on six continents at this point. I've only had sex in four of them? Four of them. Yes, four of them.
What are you going to do for Antarctica?
Bring someone with me.
Penguins beware.
No, the penguins get to watch. I actually legitimately am looking at doing the Antarctic cruise like next year.
Yeah. Does it count if you're on the boat or do you have to be on the land? Give me a cold route. Take Viagra. Well,
it's during Antarctica summer. So like in the middle of the day.
Antarctica summer is still freezing, surely. How warm does it get?
Warm enough to get it in. Definitely got to bring someone with me. Like I'm not going to try to like pick up someone else like on an Antarctic cruise, be like, yo.
I guarantee it's elderly.
It's all pink in the middle. That's what they invented lube for, right? As long as she's fucking... No, I'm kidding.
Well.
Kidding.
Leave that in.
Oh, it will be. I'm the one who does post. I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to just be like, it's for the story.
For the plot.
Right. Like, she gave me a Werther's. I came. Like.
Apparently, old people are freaks, too. Like, nursing homes have mad STD outbreaks.
Yeah, yeah. If you're stuck in a place with a bunch of people and you're going to die soon, what else would you do with your day?
I'd be fucking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for those days.
To be dying soon?
To be in a retirement home, just fucking.
I mean, you could just go do it now. I'm sure they'd love you.
I'm basically doing it now anyway. But.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the elderly would love the attention.
Oh, I don't want to fuck elderly people now. But, like, as I age, my taste ages.
Why are you an ageist?
Grandma's hit me up.
They invented lube for a reason.
That is terrifying. Maybe when I'm 80, I'll fuck some 80-year-olds. That sounds like a pretty fun time of life. As long as you can like get around, like you're doing fine.
Yeah, just imagine your hip going out. Like you might as well go do it now for the story.
But I'm already like having sex every day. I don't need to fuck 80-year-olds. I'm fucking people my age.
Don't knock until you try it.
I'll take you. Have you tried it?
No.
No, don't knock until you try it.
I'm just trying to encourage you to do bad things.
One day.
You should not listen to my advice. I tell people this all the time on the show. Like, don't listen to my advice. It's probably bad. That being said, you should definitely fuck an 80-year-old.
Look, if it's any consolation, I'm not going to fuck an 80-year-old. 79? If it makes you feel better about giving bad advice, I'm not following it.
72.
My upper limit, 50s?
Dude, Jennifer Aniston's in her 50s, and she still looks stunning.
That's Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston's a celebrity on my list. Would. Babe.
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe what Brad Pitt did to her. I would never. I would never do that to you, Jennifer Aniston.
That's a clip.
Who else have I been commenting on? Keisha. I've been commenting on Keisha's tweets lately, hoping she'll notice me. No, she never has. Maybe one day.
She seems like the type that would be down.
She seems cool, too. Like, I like Keisha.
But she sang songs about, like, using Jack Daniels as mouthwash, so.
Right, yeah. She's into, what, Keith Richards? Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
Not old enough.
Probably have a better body than Mick Jagger.
Yeah, but you can't move your hips like...
True, true. I got hips of like a geriatric.
And he doesn't, though he is a geriatric.
Weird drugs.
Like, the Rolling Stones are definitely proof that, like, heroin may not be that bad for you.
It's got to be good. Like, I'm never going to do it, but, like, clearly it's fucking great.
Well, I guess if you can afford rock star tier heroin.
Well, is that like the non-addictive type?
No, just probably better quality. Like, you know, it's been stepped on a little less.
Still, like, it, people get so addicted to it. That's definitely one that I'll never try.
I'm right there with you. Like, opioids are bad news. I'm like, I don't like intravenous needles, so I'm definitely not shooting myself up.
Right, yeah, needles to get tested are bad enough.
Right. And I freely admit, like, I do not like intravenous needles. When I got my blood drawn last week, like, the nurse was fucking with me a little bit. She's like, oh, I'm having problems finding a vein. I'm like, we can do this another day. Like, I can come back. It's cool. Like, please don't, like, fuck this up.
Dude, my nurse loves me. She's, like, teaching another nurse how to, like, which is weird that they didn't hire already trained phlebotomists. But, like, all right. But she was showing the other nurse how to do my veins. And she's like, he has great veins. He can take it anywhere, like, point into, like, 8 spots of my arm, like, all the way down to my wrist. Like not, like, halfway down my arm. Like, take it here. They love me.
They're just vampires. They just want your blood.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, we've been doing this for over 2 hours.
Holy shit.
So, Griff Pastor, I'm going to call last call on this motherfucker. Get you out of here.
Thank you, sir.
Before I have more post-production work that I know what to do with. Before you get out of here, where can they find you on the things?
So I am all over the internet. I am on OnlyFans as Girthmaster. So Girthmaster has an extra R on the end. I'm on OnlyFans as Girthmaster. Twitter is Girthmaster. Reddit. TikTok, girthmaster.com.
Does the .com have 2 R's too?
Yes, everything has 2 R's on the end.
Was there another Girthmaster with 1 R that you had to find?
It was. Like I said, I did not expect this to last more than 2 weeks. And the Twitter user with Girthmaster with 1 R was taken. I was like, well, fuck it. Second R it is. didn't expect it to be more than 2 weeks. And it was a funny name at the time.
And now you're stuck with it.
I mean, it's doing me favors. A lot of big names have been like, I heard the name Girthmaster, so I thought, who's this guy? And they check me out, and they're impressed. And that gets me shoot sometimes.
Nothing wrong with it.
They're like, I got to see if he lives up to the hype.
He has to import condoms.
Find me all over the internet. Google me, Twitter, Reddit, OnlyFans, Fansly, ManyVids, Pornhub, whatever. Look me up. I'm all over the place.
Literally, he's all over the world.
I'm filming with people in every country from every country in the world.
But not Antarctica.
Yet.
Not yet.
Not until there's some research babe that hits me up.
Go for it.
If you're in Antarctica wanting to start an OnlyFans, I'll fly to you.
You'll have to.
There's no point in flying them to me.
Right.
Then we're not in Antarctica. I want to make the first OnlyFans tape in Antarctica.
It's a race. Like, I don't do OnlyFans content, but I will do it just to be like, I was first. My one clip is just like me poorly trying to get it up while there's penguins in the background.
Freezing cold. I get nervous when they're watching.
Right? There's no pebbles here. Stop. But seriously, though, until next week, drink up, motherfuckers.